You're listening to Robert Kelly's
You Know What, Dude?
On the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Welcome to the You Know What, Dude podcast. This is a special edition where Robert goes one-on-one with some of the most interesting people in the world. Or at least in his world. So sit back, relax, and enjoy.
You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
You Know What, Dude?
The You Know What Dude podcast. One on one.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Verzi Effect podcast show. My name is Paul Verzi, and today is Saturday, November 26th, 2016, and you guys are listening to episode number 282, and I have a very special guest. We are doing a combined episode. I am here with
Robert Kelly.
Oh, yes.
You Know What, Dude? Welcome to the You Know What, Dude podcast. This is Robert Kelly. I am here. This episode, whatever. I'll name this shit later because I ain't fucking going into numbers. Episode 297.
I know.
3,000. I have a very special guest. This is a one-on-one for premium motherfucking members.
Nice.
Or go over to Paul's place get it for nada.
Yeah.
Is this going up for free?
This is going to go up on, it'll be up on iTunes for free.
I'm going to throw this up on iTunes for nothing too, but most of these are going to go up on the premium member. So I'm here with Paul fucking Verzi.
Oh.
My Westchester, Bestchester.
Dude, this is the first time ever that the TVE podcast has merged with the You Know What, Dude on one show. Sitting here in the shed. This is great. How the hell are you? You have not been on my show, and I've been on your show. Well, I've rarely been on your show with less than fucking 18 people.
18, yeah. You know? I like 18.
No, I actually, when I first walked into your podcast, dude, yeah. I go, what the fuck is Bobby doing? I mean, he's a nice guy. Why the fuck are there seven people? And then you would go, yeah, and so-and-so's coming up too. Make room. Yeah. And it would be a true. But it actually ends up, you're really good at like letting people get their time. Because I thought it was going to be a shit show.
Believe me, I've yelled at fucking people. And I know who'd have a little pep talk to at the beginning.
There's
certain people I'm like, listen, you want to, you know, don't talk over people. There's certain pep talks I have to give.
Have you ever had an uncomfortable fight on your show with somebody? Oh, I was on one where you did with somebody. Yeah.
Ooh.
Where you were you were just like, what the f-? And then it calmed down real quick. But did you ever get into it with somebody where they walked off your show or no?
Of course, I'm a fucking psychopath. I'm fucking bipolar Italian-Irish from Boston. No, everything's gone swimmingly with all these fucking alpha cunts that I invite into my fucking...
Yeah, narcissistic comedians.
Yeah.
Everything went perfect.
Yeah, no boundaries just stepped on. I've had a couple. One was... had one with DeRosa. Had a couple with DeRosa. Well, because me and him used to do it out of my house. And I started up by myself. Then I went to... Me and Joe used to do it. And, you know, of course, me and Joe fought all the time. I remember one time we had a fight in the back of a cab with Morgan Murphy in the middle of us.
Oh, my God.
And we were screaming at each other.
Yeah.
And I think he screamed at me, stop screaming at me. And I went, that's not fucking screaming. Like, I just brought it up to another level.
Like, and when Morgan's fucking, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, when King Kong fucking was fighting Godzilla, but then he got electrified and the electricity gave him extra juice.
Oh, shit. So I want to ask you this you are kind of living the life. We're living the same kind of life.
We're going to go back and forth with questions. I like this.
This is a first because we're merging my questions of my show with yours. Yeah. It's going to be great. But I remember when I did YKWD and you were just like, even off the air, you would go, dude, my son's coming, dude. My baby's coming. And like, this is like, what's it, you know? And you were like, I think I'm going to go to Westchester too. And you did it. And a lot of people talk shit.
Yeah.
People would text me, hey, what neighborhood? I'm thinking about doing it. You know those fucking guys. Like, I'm thinking of meanwhile, they got they're making 12 grand a year and they live in Astoria.
No, but here's the thing though. A lot of people do that. And then you start looking at these fucking, oh, you need fucking 60,000 down? You need what?
Can I get something up there for 51,000?
My uncle's going to give me 5,000 for a down payment he owes me for this Chevy Impala I fucking repaired. Fucking shit.
Yeah.
Reality hits.
Yeah.
When you Look, reality. Look, I'll tell you, it's funny because when I got the kid home, my original thing was 2 years in the city in my apartment. I love my apartment, 47th between 9th and 10th. I'm like, this is going to be great. I'm going to bring my kid up here. I got into a fight the night I got home from the hospital with a homeless guy.
Oh, wow.
This shirtless fucking cocksucker kicked one of my dogs.
What?
Yeah, he kicked my dog, Kelby. And I heard the yelp.
Oh,
so
fuck.
So we're face to face. It's 2-something. I just brought my kid home.
Wow.
3 days in the fucking hospital, something like 2 days in the hospital. I had my whole life fucking changed. I'm on the phone with my mother telling her that everything's okay. I'm wiped. Yeah. And this guy's fucking kicked my dog nose to nose.
Oh my God.
So he's like, fuck you, you motherfucker, watch your dogs. I'm like, I'll fucking watch. You fucking don't kick an animal. We're going back and forth. Nose. He goes, fuck you, I'll beat the I will fucking kill you right the fuck here. You think you're fucking nuts, you fucking piece of shit. He goes, you don't like black people?
Oh my God.
As loud as he could. And I went, I love black people. I fucking Keith Robinson. I'm friends with Kevin Hart.
Naming everything.
I know Billy Burr is married a black woman. I have black people all my life. I got Patrice O'Neill was my best friend. Patrice? I started doing bits. Malcolm XXL, motherfucker. You know, dude, I was just so fucking. I can't believe he did it. You know, I looked around. All of a sudden, my fucking Polish super woman. Yeah. Polish grabs me. I feel a fucking pinch on my shoulder, like the Hulk grabbed my shoulder. She grabs my shoulder. She goes, Bubby, you have baby. You don't do this no more, right?
Oh,
whatever
the
fuck. That's my worst Polish accent ever, right? Russian, whatever. I go inside. I tell my wife, I go, where the fuck out of here? I call DC Benny. Uh-huh. You know DC Benny?
Yep.
Okay, one of the funniest guys. I came up with him in New York. He does real estate for Sotheby's or whatever, right? How long will it take me to get the fuck out of here? He goes, you're going to have to sell your place. Then you're going to have to take that money, put it in the bank, rent a place.
Right.
And then buy. Unless you got 200 something thousand in the, like 250,000 right now.
And you did that all quickly, didn't you?
He goes, I go, how long is it going to take? He goes, 6 months is the fucking minimum. And I guarantee it won't happen. 6 months to the week.
Wow.
Let me tell you something. I moved. I had a baby.
Yep.
I sold my place. I rented a place. And then I bought a place and ripped that fucking sign off the lawn.
Yeah.
In 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah. I moved twice.
Yeah.
I moved twice. I moved three times actually because I had to move everything into a storage unit. And then from the storage unit to the fucking rent a house. And then from the rent a house to the new house.
Wow.
In 6 months. It was a fucking nightmare. But the night I got into this house,
yeah,
and I sat out on my front lawn with my little baby was crawling on the front lawn.
Yeah.
And my neighbor Dolores, Italian Irish older woman next door, walks up and her grandson Bobby's across the street. And
yeah.
I was like, fucking suck my fucking fat fucking country nut.
Oh, isn't it funny how when you move up here, you look at people who aren't here like they're nobodies, like they're nothing?
Yeah, the only difference between up here, I had to learn, instead of going fuck you to somebody's face, I had to learn how to pantomime it through a window at a red light.
Oh, yeah, it's the best. I just fucking look around going, you fucking people.
Yeah.
You fucking animals are living in fucking, this is the best. Living up here, so you have a little boy. You have a, for you guys that don't know, Bobby has a beautiful little son named Max.
Yeah.
He's living in Westchester County. Yeah. Basically what you guys have been hearing me talk about on my show, but you were a guy, you were a city fucking guy, dude. Like you were like, I remember you kind of being really hesitant, like, what's it like? What's it like? And you go, you're quicker than me to the city. You're 25 minutes?
I'm around. I can make it 25 minutes from the 79th Street Boat Basin exit to my house. It's around 25 minutes. No traffic.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, I dropped Lenny Marcus off the other night. I was fucking at my door in under 25 minutes.
I mean, that's ridiculous. See, me, like, you do the cellar. I do the stand is my home club. Yeah. From my door to the stand, no traffic is about an hour.
Right.
Okay, with traffic and shit. So you don't even have a half hour drive, dude.
Well, here's the thing, though. Anytime you come up here, And I'm being real because we all lie.
No, I was just going to say, I lie.
Look, everybody who lives up here lies to the people that live down there.
Look, with no cars, no lights. Listen, if the apocalypse happened and one was run one road and my car survived, I'm doing it. And
as long as there's no deer or muskrats, if I don't see one muskrat on the road.
Zero people on the road, me doing 95.
If it's all BMWs and up flying down the road, we're good. I'll make it there in fucking 8 minutes.
We always think the GPS, which is a computer.
Yeah.
Fucking waste. We think, nah, they say 45. I'm telling you right now, dude, I'm doing it.
Right? Literally. No. Well, yeah, exactly. You could, it says it, and they're doing it like with nothing, no traffic, the best route. There's five different routes. All five routes, fuck you. It's an hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I always lie about it a little bit.
But here's the thing. There's the people down there. I never wanted to be up here. I was a city guy. Because my dream, I remember when I moved to New York, and of course everybody knows the story, I moved in with Burr in that fucking crazy place. It was so magic. It was magical that I didn't give a fuck about roaches and holes in the floor, sleeping on the couch. I mean, look, dude, when Burr was in town, I had to sleep on the couch, or he had to sleep on the couch. And that couch was from his father's dentist office from like the 70s. So it was like wool cushions that just absorbed heat.
What neighborhood?
And then a wood post. And I remember every day one of us would just be like crack down, like try to lie down and just whack our heads on that fucking couch. But here's the deal. One day I came home with a couch from the garbage.
I was like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? I found this fucking, and it folds out. He's like, what the fuck? It's got butt, you found.
There's a stain, like mustard stains on it. But yeah, dude, but we didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
We didn't give a fuck. This guy just came off a Go pilot with Molly Ringwald. You know, we're all making, we started to make money, but it was just about having that key to go home and just get warm for a little while to get the fuck back out to do spots.
Yeah.
That's all it was about.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't.
Now it's a little different.
Yeah. No, of course. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
What neighborhood were you guys in?
I was in Hell's Kitchen. And when me and Burr lived.
Where you and Bill live, yeah.
Spanish Harlem, 97th and Lex.
Okay.
So right by the 6 train, which was fucking great because all we did was the Boston Comedy Club. He did the Strip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Burr was the type of guy who played every club. I only played two fucking clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Even when I got to the point now where I can play all the clubs, I don't. It's just fucking too much. But yeah, it was just, it's moving up here. I mean, look, you're one of those guys that I forgot this. I grew up in the suburbs.
Right.
I grew up in this fucking shit.
Yeah.
So when you move to the city for 10, 15 years or whatever it is, you all of a sudden think you're some fucking, you know, everybody thinks they're, fucking Woody Allen.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We're city, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm John McEnroe, dude. No, you're not. As soon as you get back to your roots, soon as you get back to that driveway and driving in to get your food and the neighborhood, it comes right back to you. I folded into this shit so fast. Everybody's so scared of it because they think they're not going to go do spots.
And not only that, dude, like, I'm up in the woods. You should have saw, you know, Vladimir Camano, right?
Nope.
Vladimir Camano, funny comic, had a pilot with NBC, and, you know, really, really, he did.
Vladimir, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know him, but I've heard of him, yeah.
Really, you know, funny guy. He was with CH when I was with them, and I went to Just for Laughs and got a development deal, got a sitcom, great kid. Vlad's from the Bronx, okay? Vlad's never left the Bronx.
Right, he's a city kid.
City kid, never left the Bronx. Very, very reluctant to come up to me. He'd be reluctant to come to you,
right?
But you're a half hour closer than me, okay? So you guys go to Bobby. Bobby is halfway to me. Right. So you got to go another half hour. This kid comes to my fucking house for a party.
Yeah.
And a big, beautiful, you know, I got deer like squirrel.
Right.
I mean, deer, there's a chance I want to pull in tonight. You know, by the way, the last time I was here, I hit a deer on the way out.
No way.
Not this time.
Out of my house?
Yeah, hit a deer.
Where?
On Sawmill. Fucking thing was 100 yards up. Fucking just came out.
You hit it?
Yeah, hit it. Hit it. Fucked up the thing. Drove home. Geico.
Really?
Okay, the whole front end had to be replaced.
Last week?
Yeah. No.
You left
long time ago.
You were
long
here last ago. Week, dum-dum.
Yeah, before that.
All right.
Before
that. Fucking Christ. I thought you just got hit by a deer and you never told me.
No. Before that. So Vladimir, we're in my backyard on a patio, and all of a sudden this big beautiful deer.
I love that you, hey, I'm sorry.
What?
I love that you just fucking blow past. Dude, last time I was here, last week you were here.
The time before. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It wasn't the last time.
No, it wasn't the last time.
You get very dramatic and I get into the story and then there's like, I gotta figure out the story. I'm like, what the fuck was I?
I got kidnapped. You're like, but anyways. So Vladimir's on my fucking deck.
Yeah.
And this big beautiful deer comes. Now he's from the Bronx. Bobby, he was staring at this thing like a UFO landed in my backyard. He was looking at this thing. He was locked on this fucking thing. I didn't even care about the deer. I didn't even care about it. He was like this. He's going, are you serious? He's going, are you serious? He looked at this thing like aliens landed in my backyard, and he just that's got funny. Proof that there's extraterrestrial life.
That's
but
funny.
You're right. He's a city kid, man. These
yeah,
city
that's
people,
a city kid.
No, he's a city kid, and they don't see shit like wildlife.
Well, they do.
Well, yeah, I'm not talking about a pit bull with a fucking spiked fucking
it's just different wildlife.
Yeah.
Fucking a little confident rat fucking bites a pigeon's wig off. That's their National Geo. And that's their Nat Geo.
He just reminded me of a Mark Theobald bit. You know Mark Theobald?
Oh, the mouth?
Mark Theobald. I haven't seen that guy in a long time, but he had a joke where he said his
big smile.
Isn't
am I out of my mind? Am I lying?
I haven't.
Buddy, you know you come. Close your eyes and see it.
That's fucking hilarious.
He smiles,
dude. You know,
he smiles with both lips. Most people smile with just their upper lip. He smiles with both lips.
Dude, comics are such dicks. I'm like, yeah, you remember that guy Mark Theobald? The mouth, I remember. Dude, you probably haven't seen the guy in fucking 5 years.
Well, I always say this because I love him.
Yeah, that's so funny. But he had a joke about his neighborhood was so rough, he saw a rat chasing a pit bull up the street. That was one of his, but like, yeah, that city. I'm talking about like, I mean, you ever just look at a blue jay? Or you ever look, I got a sad story about that. 13 years old, my dad bought me a pelican for my birthday. And my parents divorced, right?
Yeah.
So I come home and I go, oh, daddy bought me a pelican. And she goes, I don't want you having that. What are you having a pelican? And, you know, I don't know if he was glad. She was upset. But it was just one of those fucked up things. I go out and I start shooting birds with this
thing.
Right? I know. Right? Because I'm just.
Fucking
so,
serial killer.
No, it's fucking awful.
Where are you from originally?
No, Westchester.
You're from
up
here?
I was born in Yonkers.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going up and I just see this fucking bird and I'm just shooting and finally I fucking hit its chest. And this fuck. I'm going to tell you to fucking.
Well, I can't feel emotion over it.
I know, but you're making me.
You should feel shitty.
I know.
What
the
fuck? Keep going.
So this fucking beautiful blue jay falls at my feet.
Fucking dude, that's.
And I'm looking at this fucking beautiful fucking blue jay and it's gasping for air. And the tip of its beak is bloody and I see it like in the movie. I see in the movies where it's going like. Right? I mean, and I put it to its head to put it out of its misery. I cried, and I never fucking hunted again after that.
First of all, let's bring it
you
back
didn't even
on
let
hunting.
Me get to, yeah, you didn't even let me get to that fucking part, though.
First of all, you weren't hunting, okay?
No,
you weren't hunting. You're being an asshole.
Yeah, I was
there's a big difference, okay? Between being a fucking...
No, we had fucking Blue Jay that night. We ate...
Well, if you ate it, then it's fucking...
No, I fucking
dude,
felt horrible,
you
dude.
You should. That
I
fucking
know.
Blue Jay?
I didn't know. I thought it was
there's
a
like
fucking...
There's like fucking four of those left in the world. They're an endangered species.
I was 13. I shot this fucking thing, and it fucking devastated me.
It's funny that when you add, look, you shoot a sparrow or a pigeon. Who gives a shit? A seagull fucking can suck my dick, right? But
that's
you shoot,
funny. You shoot a,
you
fucking
shoot a,
beauty,
you
yeah.
shoot a colored
even
bird.
Even a robin, I'd be like, eh.
Yeah,
you
fuck
know?
Them. But a nice, like a cardinal or a blue jay.
Oh my God, I know.
It's like shooting a parrot.
I know. Did you ever fucking do anything awful? We used to put. I remember like stupid thing. We used to like try to get firecrackers and make like a. Make like a turtle flip or something. It's just fucking horrible, man. I was a little kid though, and like I didn't realize it. Now I'm like, that was the most fucking awful thing.
I think I did it to kids. I think I actually did it to humans. I did a lot of shit that I felt bad. I feel bad for with humans, you know, because I hung out with a lot of rough guys at a very young age, and I saw you know I kind of got in this thing where if you didn't do it, it happened to you. You know what I mean? I mean, I used to get beat up. If I didn't fight somebody, I would get beat up by my friends.
Right, so you had to kind of fucking...
Well, I mean, look, I hung out with a lot of tough, fucked up kids. You know, a lot of stuff. I mean, it's funny because, I get sober at 15. I literally, when I go back to school, I graduate, I get to go to college, I got a a scholarship, an art scholarship to go to like a community college for fine art. I'm in an English class and we're going around the room.
Wait a minute, what do you mean? What do you mean a scholarship to a community college? Don't they just like, isn't it like fucking $50 a semester?
I didn't have it. I didn't have it.
Oh shit!
I didn't have the $50.
That's fucking hilarious. I love how they call it fine arts. Yeah, anybody could come though, but
no, it's fine. I had a painting and drawing.
Okay. Are you a good painter and drawer now?
Not anymore. Not anymore.
Okay.
At all. No, I would have been adequate to teach.
Oh shit! But do you do it as a hobby?
But to teach kids, not like adults to become artists. I started painting again. I'll tell you a funny story about painting. But anyways, I went to this class. I'm an English class, and here I am years later. I fucking transformed my life. I'm sober. I'm going to college. I wasn't supposed to graduate. Fucking even go to high school. You know what I mean? I'm working with juvenile delinquents that I want. The house I once was at, I'm working at now with kids. And we're going around the room, and everybody's like, hi, I'm them. And I went, hello, my name's Bobby Kelly. And one kid goes, I know who you are. Like, mad.
Why?
And exactly. I go, what's up? He goes, yeah, you beat me up and took my moped.
Wow.
Back in seventh grade.
Holy shit.
And then you took my CD player. Like a week later, and I'll never forget it. Like
apparently,
this well, dude, I wouldn't either. Imagine a fucking kid just taking your shit.
Wow.
And man. I remember when we did it. I remember like Frankie was with me, and I was kind of I was like, let's do this, and I was like, you know, so I just became this fucking idiot, man.
Yeah.
And here I am now. I got my whole life. Fuck it. And I felt like when you shot the Blue Jay.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't die, this kid. I'm sure he moved on. I probably did him a favor. Fucking pussy riding a moped. Who does that? Yeah. We did it for shits and giggles. I felt terrible about it. And it's that day I remember going up to him going, look, man, I feel bad. I changed. I've made, you know, so I'm sorry if you can take that. That's cool. If you can't, I understand too.
And what did he do?
No, he didn't take it.
He didn't take it.
Not really.
Yeah.
And I look, thank God I got out of that, because imagine doing that in your 20s and 30s. There's people who do that shit as men.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know what I mean? So I'm glad I got out of it. But it's funny that in therapy, I wound up talking about like being an artist and going to art school. And he was like, you should, you know, do it again. And this is like a point of therapy. Like maybe 5 years ago, where I was kind of like in flux.
Yeah.
Like it was like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, you should get a hobby. They always tell you to get a fucking hobby. So you paint. So I go home. I buy all the shit. I buy the easel. I buy all the Dawn. Yeah. You know, my wife's behind me. Oh, this is going to be Graham. So I start painting every day, and I'm painting and painting and painting. And I paint this fucking, it's three heads. One's screaming, one's crying, and one's looking straight ahead. And it's my head, right? And I do this fucking painting, and I look around my therapist's office, and he's got all these paintings from former clients. You know what I mean? And they're depressing too. It's fucking garbage to me.
Yeah.
Right. And so I come in with this painting and I give it to him. And I'm like, I gave it to him for Christmas. I go, this is a present for you. It's the first painting I've did since you know, college.
Okay. I left.
Yeah. Okay. 2 years later, it was still in the fucking closet.
Oh, my God.
So one day we're in therapy. I'm fucking snapping. Losing. I'm like, and this and that. And this fucking, and she's a bitch. And I go, if that fucking painting's not on the fucking wall, next time I'm here, you can go fuck yourself too.
No, you didn't.
I'm not even kidding you.
Oh my God, that's fucking hilarious.
It's right on the wall. As soon as you walk in, right in the lobby, it's hanging on the wall. It says from Robert Kelly, right on the fucking, it's the shittiest painting ever. It's right on the wall next to this really great piece of art.
So you harbor shit. You harbor bad feelings.
Well, I mean, look, you cocksucker, you got me back into painting.
Oh my God, that's the funniest thing ever.
and then you fucking,
oh, that's a fucking great story. You know, you just brought something up with me that, and I don't know if you do this, Bobby. Well, apparently you do, because you just brought it up, but I do think back of the things that I did bad. You know what I mean? I do. I think of things I did bad. Like, I would steal, man, when I got drunk.
Oh yeah.
You know, yeah. Like I would fucking, I would go and I'd steal like, I really, I know it sounds funny, but like I'd just go into bodegas hammered.
Oh yeah.
And I'd steal gummy bears and like sharp provolone, and I would fucking just steal. I would try to fucking, even when I was a kid, like my friends would, we'd get 40 ounces and I put like, my friend still remembers, he said to me, you know, he saw me doing something on the NFL Network as a comedian, and he's right. like, oh, dude, I still remember when you had 40s clanking in your sweatpants when we went to the thing. And I just think back, and I think about now I have a little boy and a little girl, and I'm like, I wish, I want to go back to everybody I did wrong or anything stupid, and even if it was 10 bucks or 5 bucks, give it back, because I feel like a fucking, and I know it's kid shit, and I know it's drunk shit, and I know it's normal,
right.
but it just, when you grow up, you're like, you know, like you said, like, it's sad when a fucking man is doing that shit, you know?
Yeah, well, I tell you this. I used to steal TV dinners in Swanson's Chicken. You know, remember the chicken? Remember before microwaves, you had to put it in the oven for like 6 hours?
Yeah.
Right? It would say, it would say, remember that shit? Yeah. The TV dinner? TV dinner, it said it took like fucking, it took like 2 days to cook a TV dinner. Remember that shit?
Yeah, oh yeah.
We used to steal those shit, and we wait out front for someone to pop out of their car real quick, leave it running to go in and grab a pack of smokes. Then we jump in their car and take that too.
I had a friend, he was kind of heavy, and he would go in, and like he didn't have much money growing up, he'd go into the supermarket and he would steal lunch meat and he would steal cheese, but he would also steal mayonnaise. He would steal like a jar of mayonnaise or mustard, and then right outside you'd see him putting fucking, he'd make a sandwich right outside.
Look, I gotta believe, dude, look, I think these stores have to have it budgeted in that this shit, they're gonna get robbed, food's gonna be robbed. Yeah. People gotta eat. Drunks, little drunk kids.
Yeah.
We gotta eat. And that's the only way you gotta fucking eat. You spent all your, look, I'm 13, 14. I spent all my money on hard alcohol.
Wait, so you were an addict at a, as a fucking baby. Like you were, cause the first time I started drinking, I mean, I got drunk at 13, but the first time I started drinking, I was probably 16. But you were an alcoholic by the time you were 13, 14, 15 years old?
Probably around 13, yeah. 13, 14, yeah.
And you've been clean since you've been 15?
15, yeah. Around 15, yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. So did you like fail out of school and like.
Oh, dude, I went to school after school. My thing, when I was going, it's funny now too, is I. When I was going, when I was in like 7th grade, 8th grade, were my years that I really fucked off. 7th, 8th, and 9th, I guess. I would get kicked out. I would just go into school. My thing was, I'd always have weed, and I'd go, and I'd get in trouble the first day. I'd just do something fucked up to the teacher, so I'd go to detention. Because I went to so many different schools. So right. I'd get in trouble, I'd go to detention, right. I'd be in detention, I'd have a fucking little nub of weed or a joint, and then I'd see you, and I'd go, hey, dude, you want to get high? And he'd go, yeah, let's get high. Now you're my friend. That's how I made my friends. So so I'm in at the school. I already got friends first day. Anytime I went somewhere, I'd be in with the fucking fuck you crowd
right
out of the gate.
Right.
So it was kind of hard to get out of that, you know? And, you know, I was drinking at one point just because of the people that was I was drinking, you know what I mean? The people I was with. I was hanging out with 30-year-olds.
Yeah, it's fucking...
Dude, I was fucking 13.
Yeah.
Hanging out with, you know, 20, 30-year-old guys.
That's like a nightmare.
And violent.
My son doing that, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Violent fucking guys.
Like at 13, 14, you're hanging out with guys that are violent fucking addicts.
Yeah, I remember my uncles came down. My uncles are pretty tough guys. I had 5 of them. I mean, I remember 2 of them came down one night and... These 20-year-old kids, I mean, they're fucking jacked. Like prison jacked. And they're killers. They're just fucking killers. And they come down, hey, my uncle, have you seen Bobby? They're like, get the fuck out of here. They're like, excuse me, get the fuck out of here before you catch a beat, you know? They're telling.
Wow.
And I'm like, hey, you know, because I had given up at that point of my family, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
This was my family now.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Sure.
So it's. You know, those years of my life being so young and doing so much fucked up shit and doing so much drugs and doing so much drinking, I could never even chance going back to that stuff. But, Verz, you know, you go on to other addictions, of course. Being an addict, I got addicted to meetings, AA meetings. Then I got addicted to comedy. You know what I mean? I got addicted to stand-up. What are you laughing at, you fucking diet coke sipping cocksucker?
Because you're the type of dude, from what I've seen as an outsider, is when you go in on something.
I go all in.
You go so all in, I've never seen anything like it, and I almost feel responsible for, and I mean, this is not bad. This is our, you know, I've talked to you many times.
Well, one of us is going to die from this.
No, God forbid, but I told you, though. I said, you know, this is one of my favorite things to do, and we're sitting here smoking a couple cigars.
Yeah, let's talk about these real quick. What are you smoking right there?
I'm smoking a, This is a, what is it here?
That's a Tatuaje.
A Tatuaje. 2012.
Right.
And it's fucking smooth, but it's got a kick. It's a beautiful fucking stick.
And I'm smoking a Tatuaje Cajone. Not Grand Cajone.
Okay.
Cajone 2003. These things are fucking chocolate.
Nicaraguan, which is my, you guys know, my podcast fans know, my favorite go-to stick is a Davidoff Nicaraguan. Right. It's one of my favorites. And
this is smooth.
And this is smooth. The Nicaraguans are like pretty much my second to Cubans.
Yeah.
Nothing was like the stick that Bill Burr, that stick, that's like, you know what that stick was like? Like in Pulp Fiction when they opened the briefcase and it was gold.
Yeah.
And you just like, what was it? Marcellus, was it his fucking soul? That's what they said it was.
It was funny. Billy opened up. We were backstage at the Garden, and he opened up the box, and he goes, "Smell that!" And I reached in, and I went, "Oh God!" And he went, "Yeah, that's it. That's what I like to see."
No, he made
like
me.
Like a drug dealer.
He brought it to my house. He goes, "Watch, look at these things." Yeah, he brings out like the case, and I sniffed it, and he burst out laughing because I just went.
Well, because it's funny because he doesn't want shit dicks smoking those.
No. It's like people that appreciate a scotch or a whiskey.
Right.
You're not going to give it to some fucking dope who slugs it back like a shot.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know, when you were at my party,
let's go back. How many years ago is this?
So you went to my surprise birthday party. My birthday just passed now, so you went to my surprise birthday party 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
So 3 years ago.
I get an invite to your surprise birthday party.
Right.
And up in the joint.
Up in my house.
Right.
So you were sitting there, and you noticed at the party.
Right. Your buddy and my
buddy.
Giannis Pappas gives you.
Giannis Pappas gives me a humidor.
Right.
Another comedian shows up with like a couple of Cohibas.
Right.
Somebody else got me like a cutter and a lighter. So you start looking around going, what the fuck? You know, you really like this.
Right.
So somebody brought a big bag of sticks for everybody to have. And you were like, so I said, we're going to make a fire in the backyard and smoke a stick. And I go, you don't have to, because I didn't think. And you go, nah, fuck that. You go, I'll have a stick for your birthday.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened? This guy's fucking, you had like Rocky Patel representatives in your backyard. You got humidors the size of bigger than Foot Lockers fucking out here.
I got around 500 cigars in my house. I got my own cigar lounge. I'm a 24-hour member. I got a cigar locker. I got four boxes of cigars in that.
I felt bad because you hit me up and you go, yeah, I belong to this 24/7 club. And I was like, what the fuck? You go, yeah, I got a locker. I got a code. I could smoke anytime.
Yeah.
And then I saw pictures of you going on the road doing what I do, which is you find the lounges.
Yeah.
Wherever you go on the road. That's my first thing. You know, when I go to a club, my first thing is I talk to the owner. The owners of the Providence Comedy Connection.
Yeah.
You know, the Omni, you know.
Yeah,
he goes, hey, there's a place. We found a place for you.
Yeah.
So it's the Omni, and we brought you these. And the owners, Corey and Matt, they brought me a couple of sticks. It was good, like a Ashton or a good one.
Right.
And they go, by the way, I know you like this. So, you know, you're our headliner. We want you to have a good time here. Here's two cigars, and you could go to the Omni Hotel.
Right.
But I do that. Like, so I know them now.
The Omni, the greatest part about that is I check into the hotel. I have a private gig the Thursday, right? Good money. And I go to do this gig. They pick me up. They pick me up at 6:45. I get there. 7:00 I go on. 7:50 I'm done. Okay. Fucking 8:00 on the nose, I'm back at the hotel. I'm done.
Yep.
Fuck, great gig. Done. Back at the, within an hour almost, I'm back at the hotel. I go, hey, is there a cigar place around here? He goes, yeah, right down the street. I go, how far down? He goes, no, right around the corner right here. I go, yeah, but how far? He goes, no, sir, it's in the building. It's the same building as the hotel. Just go around that corner and you'll see it.
Yeah.
I've never been happier in my life. I walk around the corner. There's a fucking
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Great humidor.
Pretty girls.
Little rooms with private TVs. The first time I went there, I was in a little room in the back. It had a private TV. It was me and my brother, leather couches. It was almost like a private little fucking unbelievable. And every time, but you want to laugh?
I didn't get that.
You want to laugh?
I didn't get that.
Yeah, you did. Oh, you
I didn't get that.
Oh, you didn't go there. You fucking you probably walked in, went to the humidor, and sat right around the front.
Right, yeah.
No, got to go in the back.
Fuck.
In the back, there's a little fucking room that's always empty.
Really?
Couches, two chairs, a private room.
Wow.
And the waitress comes around the back of the bar and goes in. It's like you have your own little private room. If you get there, it's yours.
Son of a bitch.
That night.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was Stavros or somebody said something where you were, posted it, found out you left that night, and I walked in.
Well, we're staying at the same hotel.
We were staying at the same hotel. You had a private, and I had a private the next day. So I stayed in a hotel, and the next day I had a show on the Friday.
Right.
That Thursday, I checked in the hotel you were in. So you did your show, went into the fucking cigar lounge.
Right
as you left, probably within 20 minutes, I walked in.
Right.
Yeah. But that's one of my favorites in the country.
How the fuck does that happen?
I have no idea. I have no fucking idea that you were in Providence. We were both. But I'll tell you. But the best one. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is the best one. When you do Indianapolis.
Yeah.
You got to go to Blend.
I just went there.
You went to Blend?
No, Indianapolis.
Oh. You went to Indianapolis? You didn't go to Blend?
I didn't know about Blend.
Holy shit. You should have fucking. You didn't Google it?
No.
I'm surprised you don't have a fucking app.
I'll tell you what. There is an app. And I'll tell you what.
There's a cigar lounge app?
I had a sinus thing for that week. So I couldn't fuck with cigars for a week.
You go into Blend.
You know?
The humidor.
Yeah.
Is the the length of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Five times.
Wow.
Up ceiling to floor, yeah. Both sides. Any fucking stick you want.
Right.
Beautiful big leather chairs, ooh. High tops, a bar. They serve food, steaks. But it's known for top end. I know you don't drink top end bourbon, scotch.
Right.
So I did it once. And then when I was on the road with Burr and Bartnick, I go, we got to go to Blend.
Yeah.
And Burr was having one of those nights where he's like, I don't know if I'm going to go. Maybe you guys go. I don't know.
Right.
And I looked at him in the face and I said, listen to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't. I go, Bill, I promise you, you have to walk into this place. Right. You have to walk in. You have to go. He goes, all right, I'll go. Fucking fast forward an hour and a half going, this is the fucking. And then, you know, some of the people knew who Bill were there, so they thanked him for coming in.
Right.
They brought over $96 shots of this little fucking this thing you sip.
Yeah.
And we, you know, some guy was with us. He just fucking slugged it back. Yeah. Unfucking unfucking believable place. It's one of my favorite places. It's open till late.
Right.
So next time you go to Indianapolis, you gotta go to Blend. So I would say Blend and the Omni Hotel are my two favorites. You know any other good ones?
I like the Omni. Of course, I like the Porterhouse. Number one, because it's around here, but it's
a good one.
I love that you come into the bar. They have they have the restaurant now, which is different food, right? But then you can go, they have the separate cigar bar, which is pretty much from Ireland. Every brick, every piece of wood is shipped from Ireland. So it's like going, you know, it's like being at Hogwarts, fucking having a cigar. It's like, you know, you're in Ireland. But it's big, but you can sit down at the table, order a steak, get an appetizer, fucking cup of coffee, cappuccino, and smoke right at that same fucking table.
Okay.
You don't get up. You don't fucking move, which I love. And there's a lot of, look, I'm married. I love my wife. But I like when you look around and there's a bunch of sexy girls. There's regular broads there hanging out.
I love how you prefaced it. I love my wife.
Oh, I do. I don't want to fucking talk to any of them. I don't want to look, the last thing I would ever want to do is talk to some girl who's not smoking. But there's a lot of girls around there smoking stogies, smoking, you know. But, you know, it's good to look around and see not just. Look, I love a cigar bar, but when you look around, it's just a bunch of fucking hogs. Puffing on some, you know what I mean?
No, I think it's part of the experience. And I also like when the waitress knows about the cigars. Well, but I did an unacceptable.
I love that you made them waitresses. No, these are just regular broads hanging out.
What do you mean?
So 1950s. Oh, I like when the waitresses with. No, they have hot bartenders, but regular girls go there to hang out.
Oh, you're talking about... I thought you were talking about the waitresses.
No.
They have...
you're talking about the clientele in there.
Everybody.
Nice people.
The waitresses are smoking hot blondes. Gotcha. They're real friendly, and they know about Stokes, but the clientele, too.
I know what you're saying.
That's why I like that place, and it's, you know, 20 minutes from my house. The other place I like is in Philly, Ashton.
Right? Oh, I never been.
Okay. So downstairs is Holt's. Okay? It's a huge... I'm talking a massive. It's old school.
Right.
Okay. Humidor. You get guys in there wearing suits. Okay. That know all about cigars. You walk in. You walk in the first. It's all the accoutrements and accessories. Right.
Yeah.
Then you go in the next room. It's all. It's massive humidor with every fucking cigar you could ever want.
Right.
And these guys know. There's, you know, they know what fucking do with a bow tie and a Western mustache is coming up to you, telling you the fucking the little nuances of a cigar and why and where and how and so they know. And then in the back there's another lounge with just leather chairs and TVs. You can go smoke. You don't have to be a member.
That's fucking awesome.
And they got this old lady that just sits there and cleans up. That's her. She's been doing it for 50 years. Okay, she's still there. But at night, upstairs is called the Ashton Bar.
Oh,
okay. Dude, it's fucking nuts. They have a...
Oh, I went.
Upstairs.
I went.
Right.
You go upstairs, and it's a beautiful fucking bar.
Beautiful bar.
You could smoke. Yeah, and they bring you the cigars.
They bring you the cigars.
Yes.
You can go. You can pick them. They bring you the cigars. Food, drink, smoking hot chicks everywhere. But this the smoke thing, right? It's like this... it's a surgical smoke eater. Like, it's medical. It's like... You could have 150 people smoking.
No, there's nothing.
There's nothing.
I was in there and I could not believe I was in a beautiful place like that.
Right.
You know what I did? I did it after one of the greatest sets and comedy nights of my life. We did a week before Bill did The Garden.
Right.
His agents wanted him to get acclimated to an arena.
Right.
So we did the Wells Fargo Center in Philly where the 76ers and the Flyers played.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did that. Me, him, and Matt Arise.
Right.
Did it. Matt Arise is from Philly.
Yeah.
His family came out. We did it. And, you know, Dave Becky was there, Berkowitz was there, everybody was there, and that's what we said, where could we go?
Right.
And they brought us to this place upstairs, and we fucking smoked a stick up there. Another great one is in the north end of Boston. That one is the old school one, but that's a little smoky. That gets a little
smoky.
It gets a little smoky. I don't really like super smoky, but I'll tell you a place that
it's
I like
a little smoky in here.
I know you don't like it as much. A place I love, it is a little snooty. But I love Club Macanudo. You got to have
never
shoes
been.
On. Yeah, dude.
Okay, tell you why. Tell them why I don't like it.
Why don't you? Because why? Why don't?
Because why? Because you got to have what? What were you about?
You
got to
gotta have. They don't want sneakers,
right?
You
want
to laugh? I was so excited when I walked in there, and the guy goes, "I'm sorry, guy in a suit." There's a guy standing there in a suit.
Yeah.
And everyone's got locked. You see, Eli Archie Manning, fucking Eli and his dad got a fucking thing in there. You know who goes there all the time? After Knicks games, Carmelo Anthony, I didn't know, he's on the fucking cover of Cigar Aficionado. He smokes the Padrones.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He smokes the Padrones. So they're like, "I'm sorry, son, you can't wear sneakers." He goes, "But if you want, you could check them at the coat thing and we'll give you slippers." So I said, "What?" Dude, I fucking give him my Jordans at the fucking thing.
Yeah.
And I put on old man slippers like fucking Ice Cube in fucking Boys in the Hood. And I'm walking around in these old man slippers and I'm sitting there. But you see guys on the fucking New York Jets.
Yeah.
You see, then sometimes they have a live band playing. But here's what one thing that bothers me.
Are you the only guy with slippers, though?
I didn't look, but you I didn't think look I might have been. I think I might have been.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was rough. So now what I do is I have a pair. No, what I do is I have two button downs in my trunk at all times and a pair of shoes that I bought in Italy that are in my trunk at all times.
Right.
So if I'm in Midtown, it's on. You know where it is? It's on 63rd and Park.
I've never been.
It's we're going to go one time because it's fucking beautiful.
No, I got shoes.
It's fucking high end, right?
Right.
But this is what bothered me, and I did an unacceptable. On my podcast, I do an unacceptable for the week. Something that I just is fucking unacceptable, you know? Right. You see a chick in a fucking...
Was killing a fucking Blue Jay ever, one of those?
It should have been. That's this week's. That's fucking this week's when I was a kid. All right.
Jesus.
This fucking waitress comes over.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. And all the waitresses are either Cuban or like fucking somewhere from South America. They know about sticks. They come over. They know about sticks. And I'm fucking excited. I bring a friend there. And a waitress, the second or third time, I'm all excited. Oh, and a waitress says, "No, watch how they treat you."
Yeah.
And she's fucking crying. She's fucking crying. And she's fucking looking at the clock and she's telling me when last call is. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm here to relax. you're fucking going through something with some guy or something. She's like cutting my fucking cigar, like wiping her eyes. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this? I don't need that. How fucking dare you take away my fucking time? You know, I remember one time DeRosa said, like, some chick was, like, upset as a stripper. And he's like, what the fuck? I don't need to know. And, like, that's what this cigar waitress was doing. It's like, you don't take that. Like, a cigar is a time for a fucking man or woman.
Right, but what if, can I play devil's advocate?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, what if her?
Not here we go. I'm just devil's advocate.
All right, her dog died. Don't go to work.
No.
All right, go ahead.
We're going to fucking bring up a dog. Okay. Her mother. Listen.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, there you go, Verz.
All right.
Her mother. Just fucking took it. Done. She's dead. She goes to her boss. My mother just died. Can I please? Look, it's too busy. We just had a bunch of guys. The guys wearing slippers to be here, okay? That's how much he wants to be here. Okay? You gotta finish your time out and then you can go. Nothing's gonna happen tonight anyways, honey. Okay? Go out on the floor, finish your shift, do your job, or you're gonna get fired.
Oh, fuck
okay.
you.
Where are you at now?
I mean,
right back with that Blue Jay, right?
Yeah.
You don't know.
Dude, I mean, look.
What did you ask?
No, but
you could have said you're all right, and she could have said.
What kind of piece of shit boss would do that?
Oh, dude, I don't know. Some guy who owns a fucking cigar bar that makes fucking grown men wear slippers. How about that piece of shit? How about that fucking cocksucker?
All right, touché, I'll give you that.
They can't fucking. They can't sport. Even bowling alleys have fucking shoes for people.
I know, but it was just, you know how much I love to smoke. It'd be like a woman fucking crying right as she was going down on her knees to blow you. It's like, I don't want the fucking blowjob.
Why not? What's wrong with you?
Fucking. I had a joke about that. I was like, you better wipe those tears and suck this dick.
Jesus Christ. How am I fucking talking to him? What the fuck? You're killing Blue Jays.
You have no empathy for
a fucking girl crying.
Oh, shit.
Fucking, your fantasy is crying girls sucking your dick. What the fuck? I thought I was bad. I took a kid's moped once.
Oh shit.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're sitting here, we're smoking these fucking bats. Mm-hmm. I'm hooked. I'm in. You're all in, right?
Oh yeah.
There's like a group of us that are into this.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Who are the guys do you say that are cigar guys?
All
okay,
right.
Burr. Yes.
Yeah.
You, yes. Me, yes.
Yeah.
Aaron Berg.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I was in Toronto, and this comic goes, what's with New York comics and cigars? That's what he said. He goes, what's with all these pictures? And I said, yeah. I said, there's a group of us that fucking like a stick. We don't want to smoke cigarettes, right?
What's with the New York comics being men?
Yeah, like a lot of people. No, because you know what he said? He goes, yeah, I don't like that. No offense. He goes, I don't like that. He goes, Aaron Berg was here and like smoke was blowing in the door. Whatever. To answer your question.
Where was that?
I was in Canada. And this comic was just like, I don't really like him. But and then he said, he goes, I'm seeing all these pictures online of New York comics smoking sticks.
Yeah.
Aaron Berg is another level. Okay.
Of cigar smokers.
Yeah. Aaron Berg is a 2-3 stick a day guy.
Oof.
I mean, Aaron Berg smokes fucking bat. He had a bat right now. He has a bat that makes the ones we're smoking right now. I mean, this kid, I'm not joking, Bobby. It looked like he had a fucking cucumber hanging out of his mouth.
Right.
Okay? It looked like he had a dick. His whole mouth was open. And I mean, it must have been a 2-hour smoke.
Jesus
Berg
Christ.
Berg is next level. We went to a football game and Berg brought the Aurora. And I don't know if you ever had an Aurora. There's three labels. There's the fucking gold, red, and green. He brought the green ones. And they're in the green, bright green tubes. And you open it. It looked like fucking Superman crystals, right?
Right, yeah.
And you open it up. And we smoked one. They're like $25 a stick. And we smoked one before we went into Alabama LSU game. And it was one of the best sticks I ever fucking had. Mm. And I started thinking about it more. Bart Nickel smoke them, but not the way that I do.
He enjoys it because I smoked with him in Philly.
Bart Nickel doesn't love it.
But he did enjoy the way out. He enjoyed it, but he I can smoke with him because he smokes it and he's in his own world.
Right.
He's smoking it. He's taking the puffs. He liked it. So I can definitely smoke with Bartnick.
But here's the thing. These people have to understand, we're not smoking fucking, you know, Philly blunts.
No, that's
we're
the
not
thing.
Even smoking Macanudos. We're not even rolling with that fucking garbage.
No, we're not.
We're smoking $15 to $50 cigars.
Yes.
And then up.
Yeah.
I mean, especially when we're smoking together. I mean, we're smoking the top of the line
cigars.
We're
smoking really, really good cigars.
Yeah, I mean, and every cigar is different. Every cigar, we're trying new shit.
Yeah.
But God forbid I fucking would give you a mediocre cigar. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
You come over to my house and I'd be like, you come over, I have fucking 5 cigars to choose from.
No, yeah, absolutely. No, but I will say this. You're on another... You took where I was,
yeah,
and you're above it. You listen, I love a good stick and I'll smoke them often, but you are like, I mean, you're like, dude, I was in South America. They got this one that came up from the ground. It's going to knock your dick off. And you're right. You know, like you take it to, you know, you're like, I want what's in Castro's fucking house. Where do I get that? I know.
I do. I was fucking, everybody's all, look, I'm very happy about this Cuban thing. I mean, I like the cigars I smoke.
Yeah.
But I can't, you know, Billy Burr kind of.
No, I got to go.
Yeah, he got me. It's like I had fucking crack for the first time.
I wasn't joking with him. Like, I wasn't trying to make him feel good because he was excited to bring me it.
Oh.
Okay? But, like, it's so good, I don't even want to tell people. I'm not even, you know what I mean? It's one of those.
Yeah.
But I looked at him in the face. I said, I looked him in the face. I said, this is the best cigar I've ever had.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's up there. It's up there. But I got a funny story. You're going
to
love it.
I got to give it to him, too, because he opened that box in a room full of fucking dudes and said, go ahead. And look, you know, if I had that box,
yeah,
you know, you'd have to fucking, you'd have to pass a written test.
Yeah.
You'd have to have A, B, or C on like 5 questions. And if you got 2 wrong, you're getting a Philly blunt.
Dude, I got a great story about Burr.
What?
We go to Club Mac and, the first time I took him.
Yeah.
He couldn't believe it. I go, dude, I found a place in New York City we can go. And he goes, what? I go, dude, inside is beautiful. He goes, all right. He walked in, the level of happiness on his face.
Yeah.
He just looked around. He couldn't fucking believe it. They got leather, fucking beautiful leather. People are in suits and shit.
Yeah.
And it's just next level, right? And like, you know, you want a shrimp cocktail and a fucking the best scotch you ever had, everything. So he fucking loved it. So we go in there for like the third time. And he's like, what was that one you said Carmelo Anthony likes? And I go, Carmelo Anthony loves and only smokes Padrones.
They're good.
But they're really strong and they're good, right? They're good. They're really good.
Yeah.
So we're looking on the menu. And he goes, oh, they got Patrones right here. All of a sudden, they were like $99 a stick. $99.
That's up there. For people who don't know,
yeah.
For people that don't know,
that's like,
it's charging three times as much.
The cigars we mostly the cigars we smoke, right? I would say the cigars we smoke are, we smoke Mercedes. And sometimes Porsches.
Yeah, Lexus once in a while.
Lexus is like the lower end.
But loaded Lexus.
Limited Lexus.
Heated seats and cooled.
Yeah. A lot
kick
of times.
Kick the back and the trunk goes up. Kick it again, it goes down.
The back seat goes back. Yeah.
It's got front and back cameras.
Yeah. It's got the rear cameras, the heated package, the whole deal, right?
The high beams go on automatically.
Yeah. I feel like this. I think you agree with this. If you smoke a $20 a stick, it's a good stick.
Yeah.
A $99 stick, that you're talking, it's a Rolls Royce, right?
Yeah.
You know, even though it's grossly overpriced.
Yes.
So anyway.
It is, because a Padron is around 20, 30, 50 bucks. There's some of them, though. There's some that are 80
bucks.
Wait
till I tell you. So I go, we don't need to do that. And he goes, no, fuck it. We're doing that. And I go, dude, it's a $100 stick. He goes, fuck it, dude. He goes, we got to try a $99 stick. It's a Padron. Bobby.
Yeah.
I lit this thing.
Yeah.
First puff, it was so intense. And Bill took a puff. He took the first puff and he goes, oof. And he goes, dude, I don't know if I can handle this, right? Yeah. And I go, no, it should be all right. All of a sudden, he fucking figures it out.
Yeah.
You know fucking Bill. It took him fucking 2. And he figured out how strong it was. He figured out how to do it. Me, like a fucking dope, I start puffing this thing like it's a normal stick.
Oof.
I start getting pale. He goes, dude, are you all right? I go, I don't know, dude. I might throw up. I got to wait.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle it. But I'm not kidding, Bobby. When it was done, I felt like I couldn't drive. Yeah. I walked out a little discombobulated and nauseous. I thought I was going to. It was one of the most. Not fun. Not enjoyable.
No.
It was not enjoyable. And for the people that don't know, the darker the leaf is on the outside of a cigar. How many women just left this podcast?
How many people just he just to go get a fucking big black one?
No, I mean women disinterested.
Well, they should be, because you know what? It's Christmas time, and we're helping you out. We're telling you what cigars to get for your fucking man.
Absolutely. So for the people that don't know, and I've mentioned it on the podcast before, but if you're new to the podcast, the darker the leaf on the outside, the stronger the stick.
Right.
So if you have a boyfriend or a husband who goes, yeah, I want to have a... Go light. Go Romeo and Julieta. Nice. Monte 1875 Cristo. Monte Cristo. White, a light one outside. They don't inhale. They take little puffs in their mouth, and it's light on the outside. That's not good. Because everybody goes, how the fuck do you smoke cigars? I tried it.
Yeah.
I tried it with my uncle, and I fucking almost puked. I turned green. Because they fucking go grab something that they don't know what the fuck it is, right? And you get sick. You got to know what you're doing.
I keep a box of Perdomo 10th anniversary champagne. I keep a box of them in my humidor. So when someone rolls in that doesn't smoke... It's the creamiest, lightest cigar. Anybody can smoke that cigar. Okay, right. The 10th anniversary champagne edition. Anybody can smoke that thing and feel it's a big ring gauge. You feel like you're a big boy smoking it, but it's creamy. It's the if you type in creamy cigar on the internet, this is the cigar that comes up. That's the type of cigar. It's the lightest cigar. These cigars we're smoking, these are for big boys. But I'll tell you a trick that I learned. When you're smoking these big, when you're smoking these heavy cigars like that,
yeah,
you got to keep like Jolly Ranchers. When you go to a cigar place, I always keep some type of candy with me. Okay, because if you get that fucking lightheaded shit, if you start sucking on that candy, the sugar will fucking combat the dizziness and the puking of that cigar. Yeah, so you start sucking on a Jolly Rancher.
Is that right?
Yeah, or you have a Coke.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That sugar will help you get your shit back, so you're not all... Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You're basically getting... You're getting fucking stoned is what you're doing off the nicotine.
The tobacco's strong.
The tobacco's strong. You're getting fucking whacked. You're getting fucking whacked. You're getting dizzy.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, I've smoked a couple cigars.
I mean, I'm addicted to it.
Yeah. Dude, are you kidding me? It's fucking... We're in a shed. We're in a shed. Come on.
Oh, shit. All right, so let me ask you this. All right, this is, by the way, this is Verzi Effect Podcast merged with the fucking You Know What, Dude, which is great. You know, Bobby, for you guys that don't know, Bobby was Bam Bam, 2 seasons on FX's Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll, has an amazing hour special out called Bobby Kelly Live at the Village Underground, which was a Comedy Central special, which moved over to Netflix, and your podcast is doing great. You're doing great, dude. Yeah. One of the funniest guys out there. I'm glad to have you on the show. I'm glad people could hear us bullshit about fucking
shooting
birds.
And vice versa. I mean, everybody on my podcast knows you, because everybody loves you show. All my fans love
you. Your fans are the fucking best.
Well,
and I gotta tell you something. When I'm in Indianapolis or fucking Providence or anywhere, they're always like, dude, I heard you on Bobby's podcast. Like, you got a lot of listeners, dude, and it's awesome. Yeah. Did you have any, let me ask you this question. Did you have any fucking dopes around the holidays on Thanksgiving talk about politics and ruin anything?
No. It's funny. Every year for Thanksgiving I would have to say, I don't know, 15 years. Me and Dawn have invited, you know, comics over, because we don't go home. We don't go back to Boston for Thanksgiving. Dawn's a great cook, so she cooks. And we always invite, you know, some years it's just one, some years it's fucking 8 people. And it's usually comics or people, actors or in the business who aren't going to their families or, you know, whatever. So this year was actually Norton, who pretty much comes every year. He's been coming for 10 years. We always have Norton over. And Max loves Norton. Fucking loves him. We had Stavros was up here. Kelly Festuca came up.
I love Stavros.
Stavros baked a pie.
I got Stavros into cigars. You can ask him. Yeah. I headlined Magoobies, and I go, hey, dude, I don't want to drag you if you don't want to come, but you want to? Is there any place in Baltimore? And he took me to a place.
Yeah.
And he fucking had one, and he was smoking with me. But go ahead. I'm sorry. So you had Stavros, you had Kelly, you had
Stavros,
Jim.
And we had a friend of mine, Omar, and his wife, Popeye, big kid, big guy. He's
black kid, huh?
He's a Puerto Rican. He's around 6'5", 400 something pounds. Big motherfucker.
You allow that in your house on Thanksgiving?
Come on, son.
I'm just kidding.
Fucking, I need these leftovers gone.
I'm kidding, by the way, people. I know someone's going to be like, what are you, fucking race? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, we had. So we didn't fucking. Nobody brought that shit up, dude. Nobody brought that shit up. And here's the thing. I bring it up on my podcast once in a while and talk about it. But as far as I'm concerned, it's fucking done. It's over.
It's over.
And it's fucking over.
Yeah.
And I know that they're going to, now today they came out that they're going to start, you know, several states, they want, they're going to go back and recount and blah, blah, blah. And she has 2 million fucking of the popular vote and blah, blah, blah. It's like when Al Gore got fucked. Yeah. Look, it's not, there's no way in fucking hell that Trump is, they're going to take it away and give it to, do you know what happened with, to what happened to this country? If he won the fucking election, okay?
Yeah.
And then they went and fucking took it away. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. And it's just a fucking, it's like we all need to move on. We all need to fucking become Americans again. It's like the UFC. Okay, you got two of these people going in there talking shit the whole time. Yeah. Fuck you, fuck your kids. I'm going to rip your head off and shit down. I'm going to fucking smother you. You're going to die in the ring. And then they fight. One guy wins.
Yeah.
And as soon as they're done, they help each other up. They help each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody gets back to their lives. And it's politics, man. I get it. But we got to fucking move on and, you know, and become Americans again.
Yeah. I made a mistake. I made a mistake. Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to mention names because my family may listen to this. But I made a mistake. At the end of the night, we went out to smoke a stick.
Yeah.
I had a couple scotches in me.
Yeah, that's always what helps.
I knew somebody was there that, you know, really liked Hillary.
Right.
And I didn't like Hillary. I didn't like Trump either. I didn't vote for either of them. But I just kind of said something. Like, you know, and then, nothing bad, but just, and I said it like, hey, I don't even mean to get political, but I'm just, you know. And then all of a sudden, my brother started talking about, but my brother handled it really well. Like, you know when somebody argues with somebody, as soon as the first person starts yelling, they lose.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody just kind of sits there calmly, and my brother did it and fucking handled it great. But I was just like, you know something, dude? You just can't drink and talk politics.
Right.
You just fucking can't. So my advice to anybody, this Christmas, this holiday season, Christmas Eve, fucking Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, you're going to be at a party, there's going to be people. Like what you just said, Bobby, I agree 100%. It's done. Fucking let it. Let's hope for the best.
Yep.
Let's hope for the best for the country. We'll do it again in 4 years.
Yep.
And that's fucking it, dude.
Especially if you're a Trump supporter. You won.
Right.
You got, you know, people are bitching and moaning about, you know, everybody's crying. And look, you let them fucking do whatever they got to do.
Right.
You know, who cares? Let them fucking get it out. Let them fucking work it out.
Yeah.
You won. If you're a Trump supporter, you're in. You won.
You won, yeah.
Just move, let them fucking do what they got to do. As long as they're peaceful, I don't give a fuck. You want to go on the internet, write blogs. You want to cry. You want to do this and that. And you want to protest. As long as you're not fucking with people's jobs. As long as you're not fucking with people's other people's lives.
Fuck. I'm sorry.
What? Don't worry about it. I got a vacuum.
All right, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what the fuck's wrong with you?
I don't want to fucking be disrespectful.
We're in a shed.
So I got to ask you now.
Yeah, but you know, okay, go ahead.
No,
I got a question. I got something more important than this.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to ask you about this fucking, this Black Friday.
Oh, my God.
This Black Friday shit. What they do to people who can't afford shit.
Yeah.
Because it's not people that can afford it. Okay? It's not people that can stay home and order this shit off Amazon.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just have it shipped to your house. Yeah. They fucking set us up.
Yeah.
The middle class and lower class people.
Yeah.
To fucking become savages.
Yeah.
At a Best Buy over a fucking TV.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if you fucking go there and something bad happens, I'm not saying you deserve it. But you know, fuck you. You know, fuck you. Honestly, if you get fucking trampled. Okay.
But here's the deal. I'm gonna play devil's advocate again. That should be our podcast. Devil's Advocate.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you shoot birds and then I talk. Where a woman cries and a mom who
wants to get a TV for a kid.
But Bobby, don't you look at, and I'm going to let you be devil's advocate in one second, okay. But hear me out for one second. Yeah. If you go to Yankee Stadium.
Yes, I would never.
Or you go to Fenway.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Right? If you go to Yankee Stadium. Yeah, if you go to Yankee Stadium or you go to Fenway and you got the other team's gear on, somebody eventually is going to get drunk and they're going to say, hey, fuck you, asshole. They're going to throw peanuts at you. Okay, they're gonna be a fucking cocksucker. Right. They're gonna ruin your time. Yes. All right, that's definitely going to happen.
Right.
Okay, now, if Best Buy says they got three TVs that are $1,300, but if you get here at 4 o'clock in the morning, okay, that $1,300 is gonna turn into, you know, $800.
Right.
Okay, so now you could get a $1,300 TV for $800. It's a TV that you and your family were never able to afford, and now you're online with 150 other people at 5 o'clock in the morning. If there's fights and certain shit like that, like you had to. I just feel like, don't put yourself through that. Accept what you can afford. And I understand you want your family to feel better. I understand that you want to show, you know, you want to give your family the best around Christmas. But at what price, Bobby? At what cost? And I don't mean money-wise. To do to yourself, to wake up, to fight with people, and then the heartbreak if you don't get it, and then fighting. Listen, I'm kidding. I don't want somebody to get fucking trampled. But the fact that these fucking animals do that, you know? So go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, here's, I mean, look. But we're set up to do this. You understand what I'm saying?
What are we at time-wise, man?
We're an hour and five.
Okay, cool, cool.
So we're set up to do this. These people are fucking, I mean, you go to Home Depot. I was at Home Depot the other day buying a few things with Max. All these aisles are packed with shit, and it's all covered.
Yeah.
Do not touch till fucking...
Yeah.
Till Black Friday. Till Friday. Do not look. So there's all this magical shit everywhere. Yeah. Okay? In every store.
I went to Home Depot. It was all wrapped up in black.
Right. It's all wrapped up in black.
Black, yeah.
And you're sitting there going, well, what the fuck? I can go... Dude, you can literally... I mean, the deals are fucking crazy. They are. I mean, it's not like... Dude, it's not like you're getting fucking 10% off.
No, you're
some
not.
Of this shit is fucking nuts.
Right.
So you got somebody who has one shot. It's like, dude, it's like a golden ticket. It's like Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. You got one shot at getting this fucking Dyson fan heater. Okay? For fucking $80.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you're going to get some fucking, you know, you're going to have to fucking get a heater that might light your house on fire. You know?
Right.
I mean, I just think that they set these people up. If people just take a beat... Right?
Yeah.
And go, okay, I'm going to fucking... all you have to do... A lot of these people can stay the fuck home. Go to Amazon. Because you see this cocksucker going in the bin, right?
Yeah.
Grabbing 5, 6 cell phones.
Yeah.
This fat fucking cocksucker. You know what he's doing? he's selling them.
He's selling them on eBay.
That's what makes me sick.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like when the iPhones came out, all right, a few years ago. And the Chinese people... Right, were waiting in line, buying them all, and just selling them. They were putting old Chinese women or Asian women. I'll just say Asian. I don't know if they were Chinese, what they were. Asian women in line. They were just paying them fucking money to wait in line, to buy the phone, to give it to some fucking, you know, thug.
Yeah.
So he's going to sell it for 7 times the price.
Yeah.
So this guy's going in, they're grabbing these TVs, they're marking them up on eBay, and they're selling them to people on Craigslist, eBay, and they're making money off of it. It's a scam.
Yeah.
It's a fucking scam.
This is Bobby Kelly's unacceptable on the Verzi effect. This is your unacceptable.
Stop making it a scam, Best Buy, Home Depot. You know what you do? Give everybody a shot at the thing.
Yeah.
Give them you're going to have this for one day. Let people apply for it like a fucking golden ticket.
Yeah.
Let them sign up and you get it. You got it. You're in.
Yeah.
You have an opportunity. Give them your email. How many you want. You get one or two each.
Absolutely.
If you want it. You shouldn't go in there and trample people, grab fucking 7 of them, and then run to the rest. Who the fuck needs 7 of anything?
Yeah. You're right. You're right, dude. And it just shows how fucking people are animals, dude. It's sickening.
They prey. What they do is they
prey on the unfortunate.
They prey on the worst of us. They're betting on the worst of us.
Yeah,
is what they're doing. They're making us. They're saying, okay, we know these people will flip out. We're at it. We're making it one day. We're giving it a fucking Black Friday.
Yeah.
Blah, blah. You get your email loads up with sales, 50% off, 80% off. You start losing your mind.
Yeah.
Because you don't make that much money.
Right.
You don't have that much money. You have the opportunity to go out and get this and that and this for your house. All you have to do is risk your life at a Walmart.
Yeah.
For
a
fucking Vizio.
Did you hear what Burr said on Conan?
What?
He goes, nothing in Walmart is worth getting trampled over.
That's true. There's nothing in life.
No, it's
there's nothing in life worth getting. And that's why I look, you know, I was telling my wife, I'm looking around this house. I go, what more can we give this kid?
Yeah.
I go, everything on TV, he goes, I want that. Can I have that? Make a list.
Yeah.
There's going to be a point when he's four when we can have these conversations where it's be like, buddy, listen to me. You need to realize that you don't need all this shit.
Yeah.
I brought my son out 2 days in a row, outside with me, fucking no toys, no nothing. We had a 2x4, a tarp,
yeah,
and some screws. And we made a thing to cover the garbage. Me and him.
Yeah.
And he sat there and he handed me the screws. He looks at that and he goes, we made that.
Yeah.
I took him out today, took him and Gnome's kids from the cellar, had them all around. I go, okay, guys, I put all screws in. I go, I need the little screws. They had to go in and get the little screws out of the thing. I hung the light up front. I go, okay, I need Max. You need to unscrew that for me. Manny, you hold, get me that screw. You hold that screw. All right, guys, I'm going on the ladder. We had a fucking blast. We hung this light. Tonight, Max, we're having dinner. He goes, is the light working? We go outside. The light turns on.
That's great.
It's like, that's what you should be fucking doing with your kids.
Dude, I go out with my son, Lucas. We throw a football. That's it.
Right.
We go out with a football. And we throw the football around, and that's it. And I told my wife, I go, we're giving too much now. And you know what happens then? Then the kids' expectations are, every time we go out, we're getting something.
Yeah.
Every time. And you fucking can't. I don't want my kid growing up like that. I don't want my kid growing up where, like, he thinks that it's like every time. And these fucking toys pile up, and they never fucking use them. It's ridiculous.
Because parents forget that kids forget very quickly.
Yeah.
You can manipulate a kid's brain. I want to do this. I want to do that. Hey, dude, look at that tree over there. You see the bird? Let's go get that bird.
Why do you keep bringing up birds? Yeah, you keep.
Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm never giving my kid a fucking BB gun. Fucking cocksucker. Go outside, there'll be a woodpecker on the ground fucking gasping for air.
Kid's going to be fucking. Fucking having a fucking gopher in a full Nelson wrestling a fucking gopher.
I do have a gopher. I hope he fucking takes him out.
Oh, my dog. Oh, you have a dog. Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have a dog anymore.
Both dogs are dead. They're right up here.
Well, you had little dogs that wouldn't kill a gopher anyway, right?
You chase a gopher, yeah.
No, I had a dog. You want to laugh? The gopher was under the car.
Yeah.
My dog fucking staked it out for 2 days. It was a stare down because the gopher wouldn't leave the middle of the car. My dog waited and killed
him. Oh, really?
Yeah, my dog just waited it out.
What kind of dog you got?
He was a half Springer, half Border Collie. But he just waited and then killed him.
Yeah, my dog would chase it, but then fucking he'd get the shit kicked out. I had a little silky terrier. Kelby, actually, they're raised to hunt rats and
castles. Well, let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to shit on your dog or anything,
well,
right?
Well, apparently, well, yeah. All right. No. All right, well, let's start. Look at it.
No, but here's my thing.
Okay, go ahead.
I know a lot of people that love the little dog, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But what, by the way, that was great. If you guys hear anything in the background, there's a fan on here and it's fucking made it 1,000 times better.
I got a fan that sucks all the shit up. Yeah, I'm actually installing a fan up there.
Yeah.
That opens.
Oh, okay.
Like it opens.
Right.
A power fan that's getting installed. I just getting it after Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
So when it gets cold in here, it'll be up there. Suck all the fucking smoke will be gone.
Right, yeah. Right.
Right now.
If it's better though, I could tell. Like it definitely cleared out.
Yeah.
But I always felt like if I was going to get something, because I have really big cats. I have 20-pound cats, right?
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, no, I know. It's like I got a baby fucking jaguar walking around in my house, right?
Right.
But didn't you want a dog? Like, don't you feel like a, don't you want to wrestle with a dog? Or like, nope. Don't you want, you don't want a big fucking dog? Or
I'll
at least a
why.
Medium-sized dog that you could fucking,
yeah, well,
like,
you,
not even a violent dog. I'm not talking about, but like a dog, because my dog, like, stand, if my dog stands up on his two
you,
feet.
I'm going to tell you two things, ready?
All right.
One, you have family.
Right.
That will take care of the dog when you go on vacation, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So nearby, mom, mother-in-law, whoever.
Yeah.
Brother, boom. Hey guys, can you watch the dog for us? Right?
Right.
We don't.
Gotcha.
We got nobody. We're in New okay. York. We're in LA. We got the dog, and then we moved to New York. We got nobody to watch that dog. Okay?
Gotcha.
So, a smaller dog, right?
Less.
Way less traveling.
Gotcha.
Way less people will watch them way more. Number two, we have to pick up. We lived in the city, right?
Yep.
What are you going to do in the city?
Right.
Three times a day.
Yeah, you have this thing.
Walk,
yeah.
You got to walk them. They're going to fucking hot piss somewhere, right?
Yep.
And then they're going to take a nice, fat, steamy shit.
Yeah.
I got a silky terrier.
Yeah.
I'll pick that up with my hand. It's not a big deal. Your fucking dog, what do you got?
My dog, I got, you know, I got a Ruby and Kanuka.
Yeah.
I got have a wolf.
Yeah, your dog shits bigger than me. Right?
No, oh, dude, he's, yeah. I got a wolf.
You got a wolf.
Yeah, I got a fuck. Remember, it was funny when you go, first he got the first dog, and you go, no, literally, he got the first fucking dog.
Yeah, you got the dog,
dude,
that
I got
they
dog.
Mixed with other dogs
no,
to make dogs.
No, I got the dog that the Egyptians, like, fucking carved in the fucking pyramids.
You have an Arubian dog.
I have an Arubian Canuco dog. You've seen them, right?
Yeah, they're fucking, they run wild in Aruba.
Yeah.
You'll be on the beach and a pack of them will roll up and take over your spot, and you sit there quietly. You don't move and you bow your head because you don't want to be fucking alpha male.
No, he runs around the fucking house. It's like, I'm having a problem with him. Luckily, right when my wife got fed up and I got a trainer out of the New England area.
Right.
Shout out to Coach Mike and City Living Dog. This guy is a fucking, he's got videos on YouTube where he had a fucking chow chow.
Yeah.
He went to someone's house. Chow Chow ripped his lip open. His lip was split open. It looked like he fucking fought McGregor untrained, right?
Oh, God.
And 10 minutes later, the dog was sitting down like a choir boy. These dog whisperer guys are unbelievable.
The chow dogs are fucking tough.
Yeah, dude. But
I had a therapist had two of them.
Yeah.
And he'd have, they're like little lions, right? They're aggressive dogs.
Yeah.
He had two of them in the office when you did therapy, and they'd growl. And he'd sit there and he had a little bow tie, this little thin bald fuck. And I'd be sitting there, start talking, and I get a little heated.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I'd stop talking. He'd be like, it's okay. You're all right. They're fine. And I'm like, they're not. I wanted to go, they're not fine,
it's
you
fucking
fuck.
Fucking growling.
He's growling. Come over and sniff me.
Maybe you were just boring the dog with your story. The dog is like, every time there's a bad fucking story or whatever, the dog's just like, get this fuck.
We get it. People piss you off.
You know what's fucked up about these therapists? Because I started going when I had, you know a little bit that I had a little bit of a meltdown.
Yeah.
And I was going through a really hard time. These fucking therapists, they're always, I don't know about your guy.
Yeah.
They're always looking at the clock. They're always fucking looking
do
at
what
the
I do. Ready?
What? You know they're always looking, because they got.
You know what I do?
What do you
I walk in. I take the clock. I turn it my way.
Do you?
Every time I walk in, I get his clock. I flip it my way.
And then you straighten your painting out.
Dude, I'm not kidding. I seen him. I'm in the middle of this fucking departed thing. I don't know. Something about my fucking, one of my dads. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I seen him. His little fucking eye movement went to the clock.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking, the next time we went in.
Oh, that must drive you fucking nuts.
I grabbed it. I turned it my way. He goes, what are you doing? I go, no more clock fucking staring.
Dude, knowing you, that must drive you fucking nuts, because I could see you telling him something deep and go, what the fuck do you keep looking at that thing for?
Look, first of all, I get it. I get it. You know what I mean? But it's probably, it's like people looking at their phones.
No, yeah. It's,
so it's like, so now when we go in, the clock, I either, I face it down on the table or I turn it my way. He doesn't look at it.
You know, it's funny. I went to one guy and I don't go, I went to a guy who like never really had a comedian.
Yeah.
So he was intrigued.
Right.
This fucking cocksucker keeps asking me about comedy, right? He keeps asking, so did you ever go to that club? Oh, yeah, did you ever meet so-and-so? I want to be like, motherfucker, I got problems here.
Yeah.
Like, and he just kept talking to me about my shit, about, and then one time he actually goes, you're not that bad. You're fine. Like, and I was just like, you know what the problem was, though? I went at like 4 in the afternoon, so he was done.
Yeah.
He was done. When you go late, The best time to see these people are early.
Yeah, early.
Because at 4 o'clock they fucking heard enough crazy assholes for the rest of the fucking day.
I go right after lunch is a good time to go because I got their blood sugar back up.
This motherfucker's got energy now.
He's got energy. Yeah, he's got a nice lunch.
Yeah, I don't like when they look at the clock.
I don't fucking like it.
And I'm giving them money, man. You know, you're giving them fucking money.
Well, my guy works on a scale. Okay.
I know who you go to. You go to the guy that sees all the comedians, right?
Right. But I'm one of the originals. You know what I mean? Back in the day. It kind of bugs me now how many, because you never know who's coming out.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got fucking Rick Shapiro walking out, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Do you have any left?
You know, it'd be funny if you were crying about a pilot you didn't get, and the guy who got it walked in.
Here's the thing. I don't talk any shit. 5 minutes left, I turn it way down. Because there's no way. Because I know they're out in the fucking, whoever's out there, I know they can hear little bits and pieces.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? So there's no way they're going to hear names. There's no way they're going to hear names.
You fucking start whispering. All right, listen.
Yeah. I told them there's a rule. You can't get me to tears with 15 minutes left.
That's fucking funny. Yeah. So man, you're on the show. I wanted to congratulate you on the FX show.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's canceled, but thanks. No. What the fuck is that? What are you fucking shooting bluebirds again?
No.
It's really
you're gasping for air. I just put
fuck,
but
man.
That's fucking awesome. That show was fucking great.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm not. I was.
Yeah, just, it was. The word was.
So, fuck, Jesus.
What, dude? No. The fuck? Dude, you say I loved you on that show. It's too bad. It's over. You don't congratulate me on it like I just booked it.
Well, I know, but you did 2 seasons on fucking TV, and it was a good role. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'd say nice congratulations on your podcast. I'm trying to fucking...
Just congratulate me on a podcast?
Your podcast is fucking hilarious. It's doing well.
No, thank you. The show, FX show, was great. It was great working with Leary.
Yeah.
It was great. The whole thing was great. You know, playing the drums, learning how to play the drums. Being on something that... I've never been on something that big.
Well, let me ask you this question. I got to go before an hour and a half because my fucking computer won't take it.
But, okay, good.
So we got a few more minutes here.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question because I just started getting into acting.
Yeah.
And you're a very good actor.
Thank you, buddy.
And, you know, and that's known. People watch you like you could do drama shit. But here's my question because I just started getting into it and I feel like when I'm comfortable... You want to laugh? I took that Joanna Bexson acting class years ago because a buddy of mine said he could fucking get me in.
Yeah.
And the only reason why he got me in, I found out this motherfucker, because if he got me in, he wouldn't have to pay. Yeah. Fucking, I'll tell you that after. And I don't like shit like that, you know?
Why?
Because it's like, oh, dude, you got to do this class. It'll be great. And then you find out if they fucking get you and they don't pay. And like they build it up. And I was petrified in there. I was petrified. I was more scared fucking going to act. Dude, I would rather, I'll be honest with you. If you told me right now, Paul, we're driving to fucking MetLife Stadium where the Giants play, and you got to go do 10 minutes tonight in front of 50,000 people, and I had to just think of my set on the way there now, I would feel more comfortable than going into an acting class and having to read a fucking monologue in front of 15 actors.
Right.
It petrified me, right?
Right. But you understand why, though.
Well, because it's not what I do, and
yeah, it's just you've been doing the other things so long.
Right.
Dude, I've been doing acting... parallel to comedy the whole time.
But yeah, so this is the question, and I think people listening would like to know this because I know a lot of people, you know, oh, comedians get into acting and stuff. Right. I just did my first feature, and I found out a couple days ago that I'm going to play a cop in a horror movie, right?
Right. That's great.
When you started to act with bigger... Thank you, but when you started to act with bigger actors, right? Like if you did a scene with Leary.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there, right? Like even after you've been doing it a while, is it intimidating to like... Because people are like, oh, you were on a podcast with, like Artie Lang and all these people, and you didn't seem nervous. And it's like, no, because that's my element. This is what I do. Even though it might not be stand up, this is what I do. Yeah. But Leary walks into, Dennis Leary's been in movies. He's been doing fucking acting forever. Rescue Me, all these amazing shows and movies he's been in. When this guy walks in, the first time you did that, were you able to turn it off, or were you literally going line for line with this guy going, holy fuck, like getting out of your head, or you just block it out, or is it a little bit of both?
Well, I tell you, this is pretty interesting. How much time we got? We got 7 minutes. What happened the first time I worked with Leary was years ago on the job, and I rolled in. I was very nervous, but I was so prepared.
Right.
Because I was so nervous. And then when I came back in, I did an episode of Sirens for USA Network. And I played some guy who got a Coke bottle stuck.
Oh, that show sucked.
Right?
I'm kidding. I never saw it.
Anyway,
I'm kidding.
I did. That was funny. Well, we did. So I rolled in on that over-prepared. But then Leary lets you improv a little bit, too. So it was, I mean, when I get to that element,
yeah,
it was great for me. And the first season of Sex, Drugs, again, over-prepared, right? Just so. The second season, right? What happened? The character changed. There was new writers. Things happened, and I wasn't as prepared as I should have been.
Oh, okay.
So I had a little trouble season two.
Was that because you got a little lax, or you got a little too comfortable?
What happened, I think a little bit of both.
Okay.
What happened was I was a little too comfortable thinking I was just going to roll in and be this guy, which I did the first season. It changed the second season. My whole thing changed. It was a little more subtle. There was, I kind of got a little polluted in my head. And I talked to Leary about it, and he helped me out. It's like, you don't want to ever be a line counter. You don't want to go in and go, I only got fucking two lines. If you get two lines, you better fucking do your fucking best with those two lines.
Right.
You know, and I had to learn, I'm telling you, and I had to go back to my acting teacher, Pete Kelly, who's been teaching me for 20 years. I had to call him up and go fucking line by line, scene by scene with him over Skype. He was in L.A., and I went over and over and over, and I had to go back to work, because just like comedy, you can go up and have some good sets, but when it gets serious, when the game's on the fucking line, if you think you're going to go up and just wing it all the time and just use your charisma, and you, it's not.
Yeah.
You're not. You got to fucking do this work. And sometimes the work, you know, not only are you dealing with writers now, you're dealing with producers and directors. We had three different directors. Every director's different. Some directors move faster, and it's not really conducive to an actor. Some people are way too much for the actor, and that fucks you. There's so much different shit that you have to.
Right.
So you have to go in with your fucking, with what you're doing, and you have to go over the scene and figure it out.
Yep.
And you know what else too? The other actors don't give a fuck about you. They care, of course, the cast cared about me. They were great. But they did their work. They're professionals. They're actors.
Yeah.
They did their job. Okay? So they're going in with what they got, and they're expecting you to do the same. So it's not like you can go to them, hey, dude, can you run lines with me? They will. You know, John Ailes helped me out a lot with a lot of stuff. But, you know, you got to be able to do that work. And the second season, man, I really had to step it up, go to my acting teacher, go back to basics, and really push that a lot, get that muscle back.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of scenes that I didn't have a lot to say, but there was a lot I had to do.
Right.
And when I did talk, it had to be real.
Right.
And, you know, hey, when you got a juicy scene, you're in it, right? But when you don't, and you're a fucking one of the stars of the show, you better be in it.
Yeah.
Because they're cutting back to you.
Yeah.
They better see it. You're fucking, if you're not, you're fucking the whole thing up.
Yeah.
You're going to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
So I had to learn a lot this second season about acting again. I had to go back into it. So the next time I get a job, I'm not going to take it for granted.
Do you think that's why it got canceled? I'm just kidding.
I know, but... I'll tell you why I got canceled. Everything's changed in television. TV has changed.
Right.
People aren't watching the same shit. People don't watch TV anymore. This shit, you know, I really love the show. I thought it was a great show. But, you know, maybe that type of show, you know, there's 400 TV shows going right now. 400.
Yeah.
There was 36 around 10 years ago.
Let me ask you a question. Can we stop this and then start a new one, and you send me another one, and we do 20 more minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Let's do that.
All right, we're going to stop this podcast right now. You do it.
Okay. Say no. We're going to stop this podcast right now, and we are going to continue and do a part two of another 20 minutes, half hour of the Verzi Effect 282.
Right.
Me and Bobby Kelly, who's been, you know, how much time is there on there right now?
It's one hour and a half.
Okay. Yeah. We got to stop it now. We're going to start part two right now with me and Bobby Kelly.
We're back.
Okay, we're back with part two. Fuck, I hope I could upload that first one, but I think I will be able to. Anyway, so, you know, you said something just now. We were talking about acting and Bobby's second season and being prepared. And you said something. I'm going to smoke another one. Is that all right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a whole box. Let's see. You might.
So.
Before you get into it, which one are you going to smoke?
I'm going to smoke. What else? What do we got in here? I'm going to smoke that. Which one? Let's see here. Yeah, this one's done.
You might smoke that. Try that other one. The
this
fun
one?
Well, you can try that
this
one. I would try the little freaky one.
This one.
No. The other one.
This one.
No, the other one.
Well, I mean, what the fuck is
the other one? The other one.
This one.
Try that one.
Looks
a little weird, right?
Groucho Marx blew the end of it off.
Is it by
what the fuck?
I know. Try it.
Can I try? Why does the end like look like this?
Dude, just try it.
Okay.
I'll smoke one with you.
All right, we'll smoke it.
I was going to give you that one, and then you take the other one with you.
This is called an Island Gym. And
the guys from Comedy Connection gave me those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll do that, yeah.
They're a little weird, but they fucking taste good.
All right, let's do it.
Ready?
Ready?
Puff that up. Ready? Are you getting any?
Yep.
Okay, keep going. There we go. Keep going. I think you might like this. It's a little smoother, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Wow, it's got a good... That's different. I like it, though.
If you don't like it, put it out. You know what I mean? It's not bad, right?
No, it's not bad at all.
It's going to smooth out, yeah.
Nice. So you said something that is my favorite quote of all time. John Wooden. Talked about on the show before. And I also remember Gary Goldman said it. And when he said he loved the quote, I was like, wow, this fucking guy gets it. One of the greatest quotes of all time is from John Wooden, the legendary coach of UCLA.
Yep.
11 titles.
Yep.
He said, failure to prepare is preparing to fail.
Yes.
And I truly believe, even in comedy, every time my set was really on fucking point.
Yeah.
Every time I was like, I'm going in with this, I'm going to open with this, and if that doesn't work, I'm coming with this.
Yep.
And I had my fucking T's crossed, my I's dotted from the opening line until my closer.
Right.
And I went in and I fucking killed. And the sets where I'm like, I'll play with this, I'll see this. And what you have to do as a comic sometimes, you have to be able to experiment.
Right.
But what you're saying is you went in with the lines fucking ready. And you went in like...
Well, I didn't. And it was affecting me, is what I'm saying.
You're saying season two, you didn't.
Season two, I was going in, and I just couldn't get it. And my acting... look, you give me a scene with me in it, back and forth, a good scene, I can really do something with it. I can get into it. But you give me a scene where it's not about me, where I'm not the motherfucker, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know... Those are the scenes where actors really shine. That's where the scene where you forget that this is a ensemble thing that's happening.
Yeah.
You know, I might be sitting there. I'm sitting there the whole scene, but the camera's on me.
No, you know what's a great example of that? I'm sorry, I mean to cut, but that's a great thing you said, because you know what's a great example of that? Burr was in a movie called Black and White with Kevin Costner.
Right.
And he played a lawyer.
Right.
And
yeah.
There was a scene in a courtroom where the other lawyer was talking.
Right.
And Bill is on camera as the other lawyer.
Yeah.
And he's not talking.
Right.
But the other lawyer's making points. And Bill's face would change, or then he would go to a legal pad
and start
writing something down because he's listening to what the guy's saying. And that's what I was afraid of in acting class. I wasn't listening to the other actor to the very end of the class. And the last scene I had, the last acting thing that I had with Joanna Bexton, we were two ESPN analysts. In like the cafeteria.
Right.
And the one guy's going, I'm quitting, I can't do this anymore, because all these athletes are fucking beating their wives, they're all on drugs, I can't fucking promote these guys, right?
Yeah.
And instead of me just waiting for my lines,
yeah,
I go, come on, man, dude, you love this, you love sports, like, and I really listened. And when everybody critiqued me at the end, the actors are judgmental cunts, by the way. But when they did, they were like, you were listening.
Yeah.
You were listening to the fucking other actor.
Right.
And that's what I realized. Listening and acting, and like you just said, not being the motherfucker in the scene, is where you really fucking get chops. Because
yeah, watch Anthony Hopkins in The Edge, the movie, the I think it's called The Edge, where Alec Baldwin and him, the plane crashes and they're being chased by a bear, right?
Oh,
you ever see that movie?
That's not called The Edge, is it? Is it The Edge?
I think it's called The Edge.
That's where he was fucking the wife. Alec Baldwin was fucking Anthony Hopkins' wife.
Watch how subtle he is. Alec's flipping out doing what Alec does.
Yeah,
this cocksucker. Watch him. He steals the scenes because he's just, and then when he says his line, it's this very fucking subtle line. And then when he fucking explodes, it's like, whoa. You know what I mean? It's, I mean, of course, I'm not comparing myself to Sir Anthony Hopkins, but,
right.
But I'm saying, you know, I learned a lot to bring something to the scene. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Bring something. It might not be what they want.
Right.
They might fuck with it. They might enhance it, but they might be like, that was great.
Yeah.
Bring yourself. That's why I love my acting teacher. My acting teacher, I remember we were in a class years ago. When I first came to New York, I was taking his class. And, you know, there was students that have been with him before and then new students. And this one girl gets up. She's a New York actress. You could tell. She's an actress. She gets up and she does this scene with this person. And at the end of it, it was fucking garbage. And he goes, stop, you know, whatever. Listen, stop with the acting. She goes, what? She goes, this is an acting class. He goes, no, it's not. This isn't an acting class, okay? This is, you should be yourself. There's only one of you.
Right.
There's no other person like you on the planet. You should be listening as you.
Uh-huh.
And yes, there's a character and they have certain things and you should, it's like trying on a coat. You keep trying on different things until the coat fits right. And then you bring that into the room. And you're not acting. You should be really listening. But how does that affect you?
Right.
It might affect you a different way than it would affect me. You know what I mean? It's not this, you know, so anyways, what, you know, stop acting these emotions.
Overly acting and just be you.
Let that shit hit you. What that person said, let it hit you. Walk in with it.
Yeah.
Let it hit them and come back at you and then deal with that. Because, look, I remember one time, John Ailes, who's the guy that played Rehab in the show, him and I come in, I say this, that we're fighting in the scene. We're not talking to each other, really. So Leary comes over and I'm saying I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and Leary comes over. He's like, "Well, hey, as Johnny Rock, if you need somebody, I'll do it." And in the scene, he's supposed to yell at him, be like, "Johnny, you're not supposed to be a traitor." He literally whispers it. He goes, "If you go to this guy and you join with him, I will never talk to you." Our French, and whispers it. Nobody can hear him. And fucking Leary's such a pro too. He's an actor. He goes, "Yeah, we're not friends," and walks away. The whole thing was written fucking screaming and yelling. This guy just said fuck it and whispered it. Leary just, because
and how did
he
it
was
come
in
off,
it
great?
It was the best. It was the fucking best.
And Leary took what he did and fucking did it back.
He was fucking in the scene.
He knew.
With Rehab, he was Johnny Rock. And this guy did that. And he goes, "Yeah, we're not friends." And he walked away.
Yeah.
As that guy. It was like, fuck.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the one thing.
I did something in Joanna Beckson's class that she critiqued, I think, in the wrong way. And maybe it's because I was, you know what I said to her one time? I go, "I'm not the worst you ever had, am I?" Like, that's all I cared about. But you know what, though? Yeah. I was supposed to come in and fight with my wife in the scene.
Yeah.
And as I was fighting with her, I instinctively just started unbuttoning my shirt in my bedroom.
Right.
And I thought it was good. And someone's like, "I really liked how you did that." Joanna Beckson was like, "Ah, I thought I was watching Tony Soprano." And I just felt like she was wrong in that, because my instinct was to do that.
But here's the thing. She might be. And if she's the director and she goes, "Yeah, don't do that. I don't like that." You can say, "Well, I think it's..." Those are these moments where I learned you had to fight for these things. And there's a way to do it. You can't roll in Like, I would come up with ideas and spit them out, and I'd do them in rehearsal. Right? And Leary would be like, yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't like that. You know what I mean? Because he's the writer, he's the producer, he's the director, all the shit. Yeah, don't do that. Okay. But if I waited and did it in the scene, and while we were doing it, he might have been like, that was good, I like that. Because you don't know what's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Right. Was he hard to work with or no?
No. I mean, look, Leary, because he knows me, you know, he'll come in and, you know, like, I remember one time I was fucking up my lines. I couldn't get it. They used to write me tongue twisters all the time. Like, I'm going to Brooklyn for barbecue on Saturday for Big Boy's barbecue. You know, their lemon meringue maritza is the best, whatever the fuck it was, right?
Yeah.
I don't talk like that. I don't say that.
Right.
I remember he was fucking putting me, he goes, well, you don't fucking learn your lines? You know what I mean? Put me on tilt.
In front of people.
In front of everybody. But it's because we're friends. You know what I mean? It'd be like, you know, it wasn't like, fuck you. Right. You know, and I could have went to him and said, hey, guy, don't do that. And he'd be like, listen, all right, but you got to learn your lines, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? It's because he loves you more than it's like my uncles.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean?
And he wants you to do well, and he wants to
get your shit together. You're on this fucking show because I know you can do it, fuckface.
Right,
right. I don't know these actors. You know what I mean? I know you. You know. I mean, look, Serpico helped me out a lot too. You know, with certain things. But hey, man, there were certain times where I was right and they were wrong.
What?
You know, there were certain things that were done and said that I was like, hey, that's you know, and I was right. Yeah. And certain things I was right, and I had to take the hit.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things when you're on a set that, especially where you look, I'm fifth on the call sheet. I'm the least, you know, there's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, 4 people ahead of me.
Right.
And that matters. People don't think that matters. That matters. You know what I'm saying? On a call sheet, number 1 and number 2 and number 3 are the motherfuckers. They get makeup first, they get fucking wardrobe first, you know, blah, you're getting, you know, I'm getting makeup and everything when everybody's done, when there's time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's just the way it is. And when you get on a set, man, you got to have your shit together. You got to have, especially, you know, as a comic too, and you're trying to be funny, you got to have your shit together. You got to be up there with that. These guys are doing this all the time. That they don't, you know, we're going to do comedy all the time. They think that's great, but they're acting all the time. They're working on that shit. Even auditions, dude. Booking an audition is a totally different art form than fucking doing the gig.
Oh, yeah, dude, I fucking hated it. I auditioned to be in a scene with you.
Where?
In Sex and Drugs.
What?
I was going to be the pizza delivery, remember? No, motherfucker. They hate. Oh, it was so bad. I walked in with a Yankee hat thinking that that's what I would wear if I delivered pies. And I want to go, look, you fuck, I delivered pies and I wore a hat.
First of all, you can't wear a hat. You can't wear the Yankee logo on TV. They'd have to pay $1 million.
Right, but I go into the audition, right? And I got a hat on.
Right.
And right when he sees me, he goes, yeah, can you take the hat off? We don't like that. And I'm going, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I take the hat off and he goes, all right.
Leary.
Say your name. What?
Who did that? Leary?
No, your casting director.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Two casting directors, a female and a male.
Yeah, I know who they are. They're great.
Yeah,
I love them.
So they didn't like the hat already.
Yeah, yeah.
So I put the hat down. He goes, all right, say your name and everything like that. Don't look in the camera. So I looked in the camera.
Why?
I don't know. He goes, no, I said don't look in the camera. So now I'm flustered. But right. I got the hat and the camera thing. They don't like me.
Right.
So I was supposed to say, yeah, I have a pepperoni pizza for a Mr. Bam.
Yeah.
Bam. Like I got confused. Like a bam, bam. And he goes, now can you do it like a bam, bam, like that?
Right.
So I fucking did it. And he was like, I would never say it the way he said it.
Right.
And he was like, all right, you know, you're done. And I walked out knowing I didn't get it. And in my mind, I'm going, what the fuck? And I got pissed, but I realized it was like, no, they wanted me to do it a certain way. I didn't do it. And it is its own art form. And you know, like I left, like you ever leave an audition where you know you got it or you're getting a call back?
No. Yes, I have.
And you ever leave one where you bombed?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew I bombed.
Most auditions, dude, I bombed so bad an audition once, I went to the bathroom. As I was walking by the room again, I heard them talking shit about me.
Oh, God.
That was bad. I laughed. Of course I laughed, because I'm a comedian. Literally called my fucking agent right after that. I go, they were fucking trashing me in the room. But, look,
Oh, my manager goes, yeah, you're never, they're never going to see you again.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
I doubt it. That's not true. Casting people, that's another thing, too. People don't understand that. Casting people can push you through. Casting people, when it's down to three guys, they're like, look, I really love Bobby. He's great. He can do it. He did this. And they'll be like, okay, cool. Cast him. Because these people are in a crunch. They need to book these fucking roles.
Yeah.
They get to book fucking, you know, 100 roles other than the main characters. They need to get those people. And if, you know, a pizza, the guy from Comedy Central got that role.
Who?
The dude that's in that girl show. Who's the two girls that do the show? I love the show too.
The European guy?
Yeah.
He got that role?
He did. But it wasn't even,
I had breakfast with that motherfucker in LA. Who would have thought? Yeah.
It's funny because he walked in and said, you know, bam bam, you know, it was two lines, and then I walk over to him and I was like, hey, you're supposed to meet me in the alley, you asshole. And then I walk over and the guy flips the pizza out of the, it was a little tiny thing. It was a fun, you know, look, they probably could have gave you that role and you probably would have done it. You know what I mean? But who the fuck knows? That guy probably walked in. Someone knew him from some, yeah. Oh, I like that guy. I like that show. He's on this other show. Let's get him. That
right.
Adds, you know, people from
yeah.
that show.
Yeah,
all that shit matters, man.
Yeah,
you never
yeah.
fucking know. As you start getting shit, people's gonna, you know, as you get this horror movie and you do that, and however it goes, some of them, oh, I saw that movie, though, I love it. And they could fucking just cat.
That's yeah.
Just, cat, when you get booked, it gets you into other shit.
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah, no, it's funny. I noticed that, too. Like, even with any little TV shit.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they see it, you get some shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's, our business is like, when they like you, everyone likes you. When everybody doesn't fuck with you, everybody doesn't fuck with you. Like,
it is weird, man.
Yeah,
It's a weird thing. Like, you know, look, I was just on a series for 2 years. Before that, I was doing Louis. But from Louis, I got a bunch of shit. You know, people would, you know, believe it or not, more people know me from Louis.
Well, you were great on Louis, and that's where I think that's where people are like, oh, this guy could act.
Yeah, but Louis, again, he was another guy who was, you know, the material was there, and he also was, he knew how he wanted it done.
Right.
You know, like, I remember we were on the, I did a show called The 2-2, Robert De Niro. Cop show on CBS a few years back. We're talking, you know, it's the 90210 of cop shows. Just all young, good-looking kids. And then I went in as a extra, you know, an extra in a line, you know, the morning fuck, I was a cop, you know. And the director was like, do something, say something. So I said, fuck it. I just started smashing everybody. Like the kid in front of me, his line was, you know, reading some facts about something. I go, all right, Wikipedia, relax. Fucking boom, made it in. They wound up making me a regular, me and this other guy. They gave that guy, they called him Wikipedia in the show. I gave him a fucking job, right? But they had me and this guy in this show where we would come in and just say funny shit. We'd be like the comic relief
right.
for this show. 12 episodes. We come in. I was at Chelsea Piers. It was a fucking great gig, right? I'd show up. We're in a car in the winter, in a car in the fucking summer. So we shot through, you know, so I was either in AC or heat, and we'd pull up in the car and say some stupid shit, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, every week there's a different director. Every week there's a different writer. So there's a writer that writes that episode with that director, right? Next week, for 12 episodes, it was five different people we dealt with, okay? So you're dealing with all this different shit.
Yeah.
Every fucking week.
Yeah.
So you had to learn how to, this guy is, you can't, he doesn't like any new shit. Say the fucking lines. This guy wants you to come up with new shit. It's cool. You got to learn all these little nuances with the people you work with and how to approach them. It's a whole other fucking ball game.
Yeah.
That's why working with Louis and working with Leary and Serpico and Saletti and them, they're the guys. So you don't have to go, like, there was fucking 9 producers on these big shows. There's a writer, another writer, and a fucking director, and another director, and then the producers. So you had to go through this fucking chain of command.
Yeah.
But when you're working with Louis's the fucking writer, he's the editor, he's the director, he's the star,
He's the producer. So he'll go.
He directed it?
Yes.
Wow,
So here he would go, okay, now try it this way. I want to do it one more. He would do it. Louis was really great with actors because he would do it. He would do it until he got it. He would just keep running the scene because he said, you know, he's very smart. And I agree with him. Scenes kind of start out here and then get better and better and better. And then you get that one. And right. then after you get that one, it starts to get shitty again.
Okay.
He would know that, okay, we just got it.
Right.
Whatever we do from now on is going to go. And he would. And he also says, to actors, you have to be very sensitive to and accommodating and supportive. Comics, you have to almost tell them they suck to get them to fucking do it. Because they're so competitive. They're so alpha male.
Yeah.
You almost have to go, dude, what the, can you, come on. And they'd be like, I fucking got this. Fuck you. Let's do this. And it's true.
Yeah.
We have to, you know.
You get almost pissed and you defiant.
Yeah, I remember we were doing a scene, the last season we did that thing, and we're in my house and we do this whole thing, and he makes up a lot of stuff as you're going. He's like, say this and try this. And I'm like, what about this? You know, he's really creative. And he works with the space because he hasn't been in the space yet. So now, if suddenly we're in there, he's like, oh, let's do this. I want to do a one show. And you go and you sit on the couch, and there's a pillow, and I grab the pillow, and we're doing this stuff, and we're talking. And we did this scene. We kept doing it. And then we did one take. And in the take, we were so in it. It was so fucking good. And the sound guy went, cut. This little quiet cut. And Lou goes, what the fuck? What was that? And he goes, my battery died. The guy's battery died in the mic, the fucking mic.
Oh my God.
And he goes, that was the fucking, that was it. That was the one.
Oh my God.
Right in the middle of that fucking,
oh geez.
It was weird because as soon as we were done, you know when you're acting good, because as soon as someone yells cut, you're like, what the fuck, man? Whoa, that was... Where were we?
Yeah.
Where the fuck were we?
Yeah, it's almost like... I feel like it's almost like, you know, you ever do a bit where you forget there's a crowd there. You're so into the fucking story.
Yeah.
And you're so into it.
Very
that's,
much.
That's always when I know, like, I'm doing a good story or a good bit where I forget there's a crowd. I'm fucking living it, man. I'm telling it like that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, acting, man, you gotta... I'm telling you, read... You gotta go through that script. You gotta go through it, make notes as you're going through it. You got to make notes on the other person's line. What are they saying? What are they trying to get from you? Why did he say that? Oh, he said that because of this. You know, Burr's good at that, too. Burr was always great at that. He would break down a script really great.
Yeah.
You know, I would always have a natural ability to just kind of act, you know. But, you know, I could do it. But Burr would go in and he would say, he would try these things and... He really, and I, you know, I learned from that stuff where it's like, okay, what's going on here? What is this guy's motivation?
Right.
You got to do that shit, man. You got to go through the script. You got to make notes. You got to know your scene. Look, man, a lot of these actors, I'll tell you right now, even on Louis, I remember we did the scene. Louis calls me up. He goes, can you cry? I go, yeah, I can. What the fuck? What do you mean? Cry in life? I cry all the time.
Yeah.
He goes, no, in a scene. I go, yes, if it's a scene, I can do it. I was kind of offended. Like, well, yeah, fucking yeah. But I understand where he's coming from, you know? And he wrote this scene. It was the scene about the mother being a lesbian. It's like the first scene that I did with him where people were like, that scene was, you know? And the actress that was playing our mom is this huge theater actress. Like, I mean, holy shit. Right? I knew my lines backward and forward. I fucking did it. I did all the work. I was ready to go this day of that scene.
Prepared,
I'm ready to fucking do it. So we yell action and we're building. And then she says her first line. And she's like, what's the line again? What is it? She didn't know one fucking line.
Yeah. I always hear that about big time actors and actresses. You get so scared and intimidated when you work with them, and you know it front to back, and they look at it like, I don't give a fuck.
I did. When I did Law & Order, I remember I did the scene with the two young guys. I knew my shit back and forth. I knew it, right? Because I rehearsed it over and over again for the audition, and then when I got the part, blah, blah. I remember we got up, but they're just sitting there. They're like, all right, speed. You know, I'm on my mark.
I've been standing on my mark since we said, you know, they're sitting down fucking on their phone. The other dude's reading a magazine. Speed, market, speed. All right. And as soon as they get up, stand on their mark, action. And they'd fucking say their line. I would do my line. They'd say their line, cut. And they'd be like, they'd sit right back down again. Because they did this shit every fucking day.
Well, this MMA movie that I did, the first feature, which comes out in a couple of months. Tom Sizemore was in it.
Love him.
Yeah. And
how was he?
He plays a detective. I didn't work with him because my scene was fighting the star to the death. I get killed.
You fight?
I'm an MMA fighter in it.
How?
Is there 9.5 years?
So I'm not being insulting.
No.
Please don't take this the wrong way. I'm looking at you right now. You got a double hoodie on. Where are you fighting?
So I showed up to the thing, right? So this is how I told a story on the show before, but for new listeners that don't know.
You have 5 minutes, by the way.
Yeah, all right. So, all right.
Well, you said a half hour. I'm just giving you a time frame.
Okay, yeah. No, whatever. It's as long as it's not an hour and a half, but we'll wrap.
Okay, no, go ahead.
What the fuck you talking?
Well, I thought you're on a. I'm never on a time thing. You know
no,
what I mean?
No, yeah,
what, dude? Just goes.
Yeah. You did a fucking 3 hour show.
Well, you're worried about fucking upload speed. I don't know what you got at your house in the woods.
Yeah, I don't have fucking Deepu. All
right.
Yeah. You know who does it? Me.
I do have a Deepu.
Yeah, you have a fucking Deepu. You don't act like you don't have a fucking Indian wizard working for you. This guy's got fucking technicians. He's got every fucking thing. And he's going, yeah, you have an upload problem. Of course I am. It's fucking me. A guy saw me perform at the Wilbur.
Right.
And he goes, dude, you were really funny. I did a movie. He did Oxymorons. He wrote, directed, and starred in Oxymorons, which was the Oxycontin epidemic in Boston.
Right.
When Boston thugs were fucking holding up pharmacies for that shit. And in Charlestown. Okay.
Yeah.
And he did that movie. It won awards. It was number one in its genre on Netflix. It did really well.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm doing a new movie. And he's like, I'd love to get you in it. I'm thinking he's going to get me, you know, he's like, I'll try to get you a line with a cop, or I'll try to get you a security guard.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking I'm going to get like, hey, you kids have fun in there, you know?
Yeah.
And he calls me the night before. He's like, dude, I got a big part for you. I don't know, you know, it's kind of bigger than I thought, but I think you could do it. And he goes, you play an MMA fighter, you fight the star. And I go, what the fuck? I can't. You know, he goes, no, there's going to be a UFC guy who'll train you. Long story short, I get to this fucking set the next day. It's snowing. I drive on location in Connecticut. Fucking John Doomsday Howard. Fucking, you know who that is? From UFC? John Doomsday Howard. He fought it. I don't know when you started watching it, but he was a big UFC.
I started
fan.
Watching from the beginning.
You started what? You don't know John Doomsday?
No.
John Doomsday Howard. Black dude, fucking jacked from Boston. I think his record in UFC was about 14-10.
Right,
all right. Like that, right?
Yeah.
So he takes us to this warehouse and he starts training us and choreographing this whole thing.
Right.
Now I'm in fucking jeans, a thermal top. I got a beard. I got a fucking Scully on and Timberland boots. I'm sweating for an hour and a half. I'm cramping. I didn't stretch. I don't know what the fuck. I'm fucking stretching. I'm fighting this fucking model kid who's the star of this fucking show. Kid's in shape. I'm just going, are we gonna go to this? Are we going to the? I mean, I can't fucking breathe. So, yeah, it was fucking unreal. Yeah. So anyway, it's a fight to the death thing.
Yeah.
And I actually started fucking getting it, but I'm there 9.5 hours. They're putting fake blood in my mouth. Yeah. I'm fucking jumping around on the floor. Yeah. I mean, I'm cramping up really fucking bad. You know what I mean? I'm cramping up a bad shape. They made me look good, though. You know, I look kind of, you know, bigger. So fucking Sizemore's in it, and he plays the lead detective.
Right.
Trying to, like, fucking, you know, deal with this underground fighting ring. They said, like, he showed up kind of, like, limping. And they said he was just kind of fucked up. And he said as soon as fucking action came, he fucking a pep in his step. And he just fucking got so locked into this detective. And as soon as it was done, he would just sit down and be fine. And, like, I mean, that guy could win an Academy. Like, that's fucking Tom Sizemore. Like, that's what he does. The way we go into a show.
Yeah.
But that's what these fucking guys do.
Sizemore's he's one of my favorites.
He's
one of my favorites.
Yeah, so
I got his number.
What?
I have his number.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, he did Opie and Anthony one day, and I was there, and we wound up talking, and he just wrote his number on a piece. He goes, yeah, give me a buzz, man. Well, you know, because he got sober, you know. He got his shit together. He's like, well, hang out or whatever. I never called him, of course.
Because I don't want to be like, oh, huh, huh? You know, I get fucking rejected like I've every other star. Christian Slater fucking sends me an email. I really love you on Louie. I send a whole email back. Nothing.
That's so funny.
It's like, I thought we were going to be pals. It's one of my dude, fucking.
Thanks a lot, Christian.
I watched, I watched Untamed Hearts.
Oh, my God. Because.
No, I was a fan of. That's what a fucking Slater fan it was.
Oh, my God.
I watched Pump Up the Volume and Untamed Hearts was one of my favorites.
Was it Pump Up the Volume terrible? Or no?
Yeah, but I watched it.
Oh, that's so fucking funny.
I watched them all, and I'm a big fan. I'm a big Slater fan. My favorite movie of all time, True Romance.
Yeah.
Seen it
True
nine
Romances,
times at the theaters by myself.
That was the first. That was that and that and Usual Suspects were the first two DVDs I ever bought.
Fucking greatest.
The first two DVDs I ever bought.
Yeah, great. True Romance is unfucking believable.
Yeah, True Romance is. You know, Quentin Tarantino
wrote it.
Yep.
And Tony Scott directed it.
Yeah.
And Quentin fucking was pissed.
Yeah. And.
But I'm kind of glad. I mean, I know how he would have. I know how Quentin would have directed it. It would have been like Pulp Fiction. I'm glad he didn't because it's very.
Listen to the actors in this movie. Look about this, okay?
Yeah.
You got Slater.
Yep.
You got a young Brad Pitt.
Yep.
Right? You got
Patricia Arquette. Sexy.
You got Dennis Hopper.
Yep.
You got Christopher Walken.
Yep.
You got Gary Oldman.
Yep.
Okay?
Don't forget Michael Rapaport.
You got Gandolfini.
Yep.
Gandolfini had that scene with Patricia Arquette. And you know that scene
is
why David Chase saw that scene and said, that's my Tony Soprano.
Right.
That fucking scene where he beats the shit out of her and he goes, you know you got a lot of heart?
Yeah.
Where he's fucking throwing her around the bathroom.
Yeah.
And she's praying and then stabs him in the...
Yep.
That scene got him Tony Soprano.
Yeah.
That movie was fucking loaded.
Loaded. For every scene in that movie, and that's what Tarantino writes, is a fucking acting clinic. Okay? Every scene in that fucking movie is an acting clinic. It's amazing.
That's one.
Michael Rapaport was great in that movie. He played this fucking goofy, fucked up guy.
Yeah. So what do you got coming up with movies or?
Right now I'm writing something.
Okay.
Just writing.
You're right.
So hopefully, yeah. So I'm writing right now. Got this great thing going on. See what happens with it. You know this business. Working on my hour. And that's it, man. Really focused in. You know, that's the one thing is, I think that as comics, we try to do like nine different things. You know, work on three different scripts and a fucking, internet fucking shorts and, you know, podcasts and, out doing writing jokes and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you got to really hone it down and do one thing.
Yeah, you said something to me a while
back.
One
or two things.
You said to me something a while back. We were sitting there talking. I don't know if we were on your podcast or wherever, but you said, you got to have a plan, you know? And I always think about that. And I think you got to have short-term and long-term goals. But, like, I don't want to work on a million things. Like, right now, you know, thank God my album did really good last year.
Yeah.
But now it's a new hour. I'm going to shoot a special. And I'm just working on it till it's right. And there's a script that I'm going to be writing, too. And, like, those two things. But, like, the hour is a priority. You know, and all that. So I'm glad we got to go into overtime. I just want to say, too, like, Bobby, you were always, and I'm serious. I'm not trying to get sentimental here, but you were always, you're always great to comedians. You're always great to younger comedians, and you were always fucking great to me on your show. You should have been on my show sooner, but I live far, and we haven't got a chance to do it.
Fucking 15 minutes away.
But,
what the fuck are you talking about?
But,
you live right up the fucking road.
Well,
I'm the closest comedian to you.
No, my GPS told me 42 minutes. I did it in 38. But, I did it in 38. But, like, you know. But, no, man, you've always been great to me. And you're one of truly, like, I mean, I'm sure you guys know Bobby if you're listening to this. But if you don't, truly one of the funniest guys out there.
You too, buddy.
I'm glad I got to go into a little overtime at TVE this week with Bobby. We got to talk acting and all this stuff, which is great.
Yeah.
What, you got any plugs with dates?
No, just go to my website, robertkellylive.com. My tour is continuing, the True Story Tour. Is continuing after we just booked a bunch of dates in Florida and after the new year. So just go to my website and check out my dates. My hours up there if you want to buy it with a bunch of extra content. And then it's on Netflix too. If you want to check it out on Netflix, go 5-star that shit. And then and I want to thank you for doing this one-on-one with me.
Always.
For my fans. And, yeah. You know, like I said, you're a hardworking guy. You know, there's guys in this business that, like myself, you know, we just fucking keep doing it. We keep doing it. We keep, you know, hustling and fucking busting our asses, getting better, hanging out with people that do shit better than us, learning from them, and passing it down to other people too. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you know, all the people that helped me out, the Colin Quinns, the Louis, the Learys, the Serpicos, all these people have helped me, you know, the Dane Cooks, yeah. You know, all that shit, the Billy Burrs, you know, they help you. And, you know, I it's good that you give it back, you know.
Yeah.
And we have that community. So I appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah.
And you're going to be on my show, on the big show, the regular show this week too.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to be there Tuesday. And like, you're doing it like, I mean, when I look at guys like that I not want to emulate, but the style of comedy that I looked up to. And the style of comedy, we talked about this before, the style of comedy that I do, like I'm not, and I don't think you are either. I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like both of us aren't the jokey joke late night comic.
We're not monologue guys.
No, I'm not a monologue guy. I'm not a jokey joke guy. I'm a walk around the stage like a fucking lunatic.
Yeah.
Telling stories, trying to build pieces, doing some jokes that are 5 minutes. And then of course there's a quick ones in there, but that, you know, you do it the way, like if I watch you for an hour, it's like you're a guy I watch for an hour. There's some people, and this is not against, and we've talked about it before. I've talked about other comedians. It's not against those monologue guys. Yeah. It's not against those guys that are, you know, great fucking, this happened and then this happened and the joke's done. And then this happened and this happened. That's not what I do, not what you do. But, you know, it's just, you know, we're more of just a straight up fucking, straight up dudes. That's the comedy that I love. And, you know, as far as my plugs, you can go to my website. I got dates in New York City. I'm also going to be traveling. I'm going to be in Atlanta coming up in a few months. I'm going to be at the Punch. I'll be at the Punchline in Atlanta a few months. I'm also going to be at the Providence Comedy Connection. All those dates will be on paulverzi.com. You can follow me, as you guys know, at paulverzi on Twitter. And I got to get fucking better at Instagram, but I'm going to be on that shit. Next week, I'll do the Unacceptables and read your guys' Unacceptables. This week is a special show with my special guest, the hilarious Bobby Kelly. So I'll be back to doing the more structured show next week. And this has been episode 282. Until next week, I'm out of here, and I will talk to you guys soon.
All right, I'll see you guys later. Thanks for listening. You know what, dude? With Paul Verzi. See you next time.
You've been listening to the YKWD podcast. Thanks for listening. Now go back to your shitty jobs.
Shitty jobs. Shitty jobs.
Check out riotcast.com for all of the best podcasts on the internet. And they are all free.
And they are all free.